Now's the perfect time to get your Chevy ready for that next road trip with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. When it comes to service, no one knows your Chevy better. Chevy Drive Chicago. Schedule a service appointment at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer.
We have to change the name of Sunday because I haven't seen the sun on a Sunday in a very long time. But welcome to, for this point of reference, Sunday morning. It's me. It's Wendy Snyder. And Dave Schwann's in the newsroom. Good morning to you, Schwanny.
Good morning. Good morning. And I know, is this like day three or day four in a row of this dreary, dreary weather we're looking at?
You know, the only thing you should do on a day like today, take a nap.
So there you go.
Feel free. I hope to lull you into sleepdom, listeners. 312-981-7200. Tony DeNardis is in the sports lounge today. Hey, Tone.
Good morning, Wendy.
How are you feeling?
Pretty good, but I'm kind of with you. It's like the rain never wants to go away. It's like, it feels like it's April with the kind of the weather we're having.
I still can't believe we're already on the other side of 4th of July. We are into August, and some kids, my great niece and nephew, Micah and Addie, are back at school. What? Isn't this too early?
It seems like it gets earlier and earlier every school year. Yeah.
Eli Burke is in the producer's booth. Hi, Eli.
Good morning, Wendy.
I am so excited about the Bears game.
What a game it was yesterday. It was a slow start at Soldier Field in the rain, but Ben Johnson and the second team offense, the third teamers, everyone put on a show against the Browns and gave the crowd at Soldier Field something to cheer about.
Well, thank you for that update, because I dopingly did not watch the game. I worked at the plant shop yesterday, Vagabond Botanical in beautiful LaGrange, Illinois, and I completely forgot about the Bears game. I thought, okay, I get off work at 4, I'll watch the game. It was over.
Well, lucky for you, it's the preseason for everybody, so we're all in practice shape, and you'll be ready to go for week one in mid-September.
All right, good, because I feel so embarrassed and ashamed of myself. What are the highlights I need to know about the 34-10 win against the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I feel like, too, Wendy, you missed stuff, but the starters didn't even play, which I think is the best part about it, is you put up 34 points with your second and third line guys, which makes you feel pretty good, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like picking up right where you left off.
What was that HBO show, Hard Knocks? Was that the name of it? I truly enjoyed that because, I'm sorry, I'm a Bears fan. I will be for my whole life, whether they win, lose, or whatever. And I never even heard of Hard Knocks before the Bears were on it. And I watched it, and I just really felt like I got to know people. And who was the old coach who's Eberflus?
Eberflus, Matt. Yep. Eberflus.
He had a great house.
A lot of
that's
them
what
do.
I learned.
Great
yeah.
house, great beard.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Yeah. But I really got to know the players a little bit. That's what I loved so much. And they're so likable. And Tyson Bagent, he did a good job, didn't he?
This is really Bagent's time to shine. Bagent's gotten a little bit of like a cup of coffee as a starter in his 3 years in the league so far. He's a young quarterback just like Caleb Williams, but he doesn't get all the playing time since Caleb's taken all those starting reps. So when the preseason comes around, Bagent really gets an opportunity to put on like his audition tape to show other teams that he's worth trading for or maybe acquiring as a starter one day. And that could be beneficial for the Bears one day too, because they can get some return out of it.
I feel like the Tyson Bagent of WGN Radio. I'm there. I'm ready.
Always
when you
ready.
Need me. I'm on the bench sitting here when somebody gets sick, but now we're here together every Sunday. All right. Chicago Bears. What else happened in the sports world yesterday? I before you answer that, I have this new thing, after work on Saturdays. I love plants. I know. I have a problem now. I've really crossed the threshold into, hoarding plants. Hence, I'm a horticulturist. And after work, I've been doing these things on Saturday where, one night I had a taste for a Mai Tai. So I went by myself to get a Mai Tai and some egg rolls, and I enjoyed it. So the next week, last night, I went and got two margaritas and a cheese quesadilla. And I think next week I might go, I don't know. I got to think of a new drink to have for the summer. And I kind of like this going by myself kind of thing because I can go through my email. I can catch up on things. So kind of a fun day for me. But I was unplugged from everything sports. Have the Sox won again recently?
They did win two in a row, Wendy. All so right. 4.5-game lead in the division. That's the biggest lead they've had all season. So in a good spot, and they're going for the sweep today against the Tigers, who are kind of right behind them. They're bouncing back and forth with them and the Twins for second place. So it's a big series, and so far the Sox have taken the first two.
Any of us get a Pope hat? I know.
I was going to go, and I didn't.
Lauren Lapka got one, and she has a tiny little head, and it's huge on her. And,
what, have you seen her wearing it?
Well, no, but she was saying that, and I looked at her. I'm like, Lauren, your head's so tiny. I can only imagine.
I think Ashley got one.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
And so Lauren called in on Lisa Dent's show, and the first thing Lauren said was, yes, I got my Pope hat, and it looks like an oven mitt. And now that's all I can see when I look at it is an oven mitt. And then John Williams was saying that people were trying to sell it, like on Facebook Marketplace and eBay, for like $150.
Yeah,
who's gonna buy that?
I mean, if they're already selling, who's to say that's gonna stop?
Yeah, and I know there were people going to the game just for the Pope hat that aren't even White Sox fans. So
that game sold out back in April.
Yeah.
Well, see, that is the beauty of it all. The Pope brings people together. And Father Tom Hurley and Pat McGann were up there and giving a blessing to everybody. And Catholic or not, we all have to be nice to each other, don't we? I mean, it's time.
Yeah, and they did the sign of peace in the fifth inning, which I thought was pretty funny.
I saw that. That was
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they lost. So what kind of pull does the Pope have? I mean, come on. And I'm not being disrespectful.
Well, look at the turnaround, though. Look where the team is this year.
I see.
There you go.
You know, if you don't like something, just wait a little bit. I was talking about meanness a few weeks back on Facebook, on Twitter. There's just a lot of mean out there, and it's now happened in the parking garage. I just have to share this, and if this gentleman is listening, you got to do better. I was pulling out of the garage, filling in for Bob Surratt. Well, I think it was Tuesday. And this guy was walking in, like, very upright and proud of himself. And my window was down, and he looked at me, and he said, "Slow the flip down." And I looked at him, and I said, "I didn't hit you." And he said it again, "Slow the flip down." And I said, "No, I'm good." And then he goes, "I have your license plate number." And I said, "Okay, so what?" And I drove away. Why do you have to do? And I was not going quickly. I go very slowly in the parking garage. So what gives people the right to just say mean stuff? We got to stop this. So let's find a way before 1 o'clock this afternoon to stop the mean.
Every parking garage needs a Pope hat is what it sounds like.
Oh, I wish I had one because I would have just whipped it out and put it on. All right, just be kind to one another. And if you're mean, don't call. If you're nice, 312-981-7200. We'll take a quick break and then back with Sunday Morning. Welcome to a dreary Sunday morning. It is the final day of the Air and Water Show. Listeners, have you gone? 312-981-7200. What's the best part of it? I haven't been to the Air and Water Show. Warder. I'm from the South now. I haven't been to the Air and Water. It's going to be a long day.
Do you say Warsh also?
No, I do not. I haven't. Let's try it again. I haven't been to the Air and Water Show in probably about 6 or 7 years, and it really is impressive and cool. Has anybody gone recently?
Not recently, no.
No, I've never seen it.
They fly really? Over my apartment, but that's, I hear it all the time.
Yeah, and I miss that, too, because walking downtown, starting usually about Thursday, you start, like, seeing these huge jets flying by, and then you hear the noise, because it's not in sync. And that was a fun part because you kind of forget the air and water show's coming up. So it's like you freak out for a half a second and then you're like, oh, yeah, but it is so foggy right now. How are they even doing it today? Just be careful out there. I'm looking over the lake and it is so, so foggy. I do want to bring up something that's silly. Andy Mazur, of course, used to be on this Sunday show, and he now does sports on the Bob Surratt Morning Show. And I was filling in for Bob this week. So before the show started one of these days, I can't remember which day it was, every day has run into one another for me. Andy was going through his my chart for some reason, and he's like, oh, my cholesterol is looking pretty good. And I said, oh, I just got a blood test because I had a physical, and this is the first time in my life I have ever been under 200 reading for cholesterol level, total cholesterol. And if you're under 200, we'll talk to Dr. Santina Wheat in just a little bit. But I was so proud of myself, and it's, I was 179, and I haven't done anything different other than taking statin medications for 2 years. It's a hereditary thing, and I just can't, I looked at Andy, and I'm like, we are officially grandma and grandpa here, because look at what we're talking about, our cholesterol levels. First thing when I got in the morning. So you know how John Landecker has his boogie check that he's done for years and years and years. We're going to do a cholesterol check.
Are you going to have a little jingle that goes, cholesterol check?
Maybe.
Like, boogie check.
Boogie check, boogie check. Ooh.
We're working on it. We're working on it.
Yeah. 312-981-7200.
Let's do a blood pressure check also.
I'm pretty textbook on that.
Okay.
I mean, you'd look at me and go, God, she is not healthy. But I, for some reason, you know, you can be healthy and not be stick thin. And can I just say, I feel super sorry for Ariana Grande. I think she is adorable and she is very thin. I've seen it in pictures. Well, now she's wrapping up her tour and has said, I'm not going to tour anymore because I can't deal with the haters. People commenting on how thin I am. I would imagine that for someone who is stick thin, they are as irritated by comments as someone who's very overweight. I mean, sometimes you can't help it. Sometimes that's just how you are. Again, I hate this mean. I can't deal with it anymore. And now Landecker has brought back the boogie check. Eli, you work with him sometimes. Is it regular on his evening show or just every once in a while?
It's every once in a while for now, but there is like a voicemail hotline that they've set up. So you can call in. I don't have the number in front of me. I know Jack has it, but once I get it, I can plug in
right.
The boogie check.
Well, you look online. It might be up on WGNradio.com, but in the old days, Schwani, did you ever participate in the boogie check?
I never participated. I just listened.
Either.
Yeah.
It was cool because that was just a great way of doing unscreened phone calls. And I'm just thinking about it now. If we did, we can't do unscreened phone calls anymore. People would be mean. People would be swearing. But back in the day, John Records Landecker on the Big 89 would do the boogie check, ooh, ah, and people would just call in and talk about anything. And it was great. So cholesterol check, just call in. We'll do random phone calls. You can tell me your number. And I'm totally kidding. I do want to mention Lauren Lafka had said that the Pope hats look like an oven mitt, 847. I have two of them. They do look like oven mitts. So perhaps they can serve double duty. That might be something to do. And summer drinks. Listeners are giving me some tips. And 708, a great summer drink is a Tom Collins. Very retro and very refreshing. Speaking of retro, I know the Old Fashioned is a drink that has always been popular in Wisconsin, and they use brandy as opposed to bourbon. But isn't that kind of a retro drink making a comeback?
That's a classic retro drink, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what a Tom Collins is. I just know at family weddings, my sister would always order a Tom Collins.
It's a certain mix, I think. There's a mix, a pre-made mix for a Collins. And
like a sour mix,
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, and I think it might, boy, I could be really off on this. Vodka, I think.
It's gin.
It's gin.
It is gin.
Okay. Yeah.
I am starting to like gin again. Gin might have been the first alcohol I tried maybe when I was underage, just because it was in the very tiny liquor cabinet we had in our house. And I swear to God, I think it was 100 years old. My mom was not a very big drinker, but we had like this lower liquor cabinet. And gin is made from the juniper berry. I know that, which is why it completely smells like pine needles to me. However, they've come a long way in making gin, and it doesn't quite smell like that anymore. But a classic Tom Collins, a bright, refreshing gin sour topped with sparkling club soda. So, yeah, dry gin, 1 ounce of fresh lemon juice, half an ounce of simple syrup. That's it. And then top with club soda. Garnish with a lemon. I love summer cocktails, and I can't get past the Mai Tai. I went to a restaurant and said, really, you have a great Mai Tai. Can you share the recipe? And the guy would not share the recipe. They had a premix, and he basically just said, it's orange juice, pineapple juice, 3 different kinds of rum, dark rum, light rum, spiced rum, and then a little grenadine in there as well. And I think that's it. But I can't create the perfect Mai Tai. But this was pretty. It had a little grenadine on the bottom, a little grenadine on the top, so it looked like a 3-layer thing. And they cut their orange like a star. It was so beautiful, and a maraschino cherry. So that was good, fun, and it's a good summer drink. And last night was a margarita, and I think we're going to have some margaritas. What are we celebrating here, Eli?
Lakeview Taco Fest is next week, so we're going to celebrate a little early.
I used to be a cheeseburger girl, and like I could always eat a cheeseburger. Tacos are now my new, I could have one every day, because there's so many different varieties you can put together. Shrimp taco, steak taco. I've turned into Bubba, haven't I? Bubba Shrimp. Shrimp Creole, shrimp scampi.
You ever do chorizo?
No.
Tacos? Oh, man, that's like my favorite now.
All right, well, what's your favorite taco? We're here for you. And we're going to check in with Dr. Santina Wheat. We'll get you covered on all the health topics for the week. We have Tanner the Planter coming up later on. So if you have indoor plant questions, we have got you covered. And we have news right now on 720 WGN. And time now for Schwanee's far-flung forecast.
Well, thank you very much, Wendy, and good morning, friends. Get out your compasses, protractors, and newfangled devices, because we're headed out to New York State today, to Bethel, New York. It's in Sullivan County. Population around 4,000, and the town goes back really to the early 1800s. The first European settlers there were there in the late 1700s, but the town was established in 1805 or so. But I'm going to get right to the point. If you are an historian of rock and roll music, you know Bethel, New York. Right, Wendy?
Yeah, I almost blurted, but I didn't.
Yes, indeed. Bethel, New York, and specifically Max Yasger's farm, was the site of the Woodstock Music and Art Fair, which took place in 1969, this weekend. Today, actually, it was the height of the festival. 500,000 people there, and Mr. Yasger was a proud sponsor, you might say, of the event, because it was on his farm. He spoke to the crowd.
The important thing that you've proven to the world is that 500,000 kids, and I call you kids because I have children older than you are, 500,000 young people can get together and have 3 days of fun and music, and have nothing but fun and music, and I God bless you for it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Max Yasger, and Wendy, you probably remember the song which was called Woodstock. It was done by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young and another group called Matthew's Southern Comfort. Do you remember the song?
Matthew's Southern Comfort, I don't, that's not right.
That was a kind of a cover version, you might say. It was a little mellower than the Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young version. But one of the lines in the first verse is, I'm going down to Yasgur's farm, think I'll join a rock and roll band, talking about Woodstock, which took place on this date in 1969. Bethel, New York today has cloudy skies, 70 degrees, and they're just going to have a high of 72 today.
Well, I don't know if I would have gone if I was a teenager because it was
I know
too
I would
far.
Not have been able to go.
Yeah.
My parents would have said no.
Well, I couldn't have asked my mom. I would have had to sneak out. but it was too far, so probably not. And didn't Bob Dylan give him a big fat no when they asked if he wanted
Maybe
to play?
Maybe he did. You know, though, I know I couldn't have gone, but I had that 3-record set, played it to death, the Woodstock album. Oh, wow.
Both my boys have a copy.
Yeah.
It's so I love them getting into the roots of rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
It's just pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Woodstock. They did do a couple remakes, 1999. I know Bob Dylan played there. And then I thought there was one in the 2000s that didn't go very well.
It didn't go very well. It was a very limited basis. And now I understand that the town and the county there have passed laws saying no more great big events like this. Can't do it.
All right. Well, thank you for that little walk down rock and roll memory lane. Appreciate it. We'll check in with Dr. Santina Wheat, the program director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency at Del Nor Hospital in Geneva. Any questions for the good doctor? 312-981-7200 at 720 WGN. It is Wendy Snyder here on a Sunday morning. This Week in Health is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. And let's say hello to Dr. Santina Wheat, program director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency at Del Nor Hospital. Welcome back, Dr. Wheat.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
All right. We were talking about cholesterol levels before we got you on the air. And a couple of things. I don't want to make this about me, but I had, a physical, so they do a whole blood panel. And this is the first time ever that I've been under 200. I think I was 179. Now, what is normal and what exactly are we looking at for cholesterol numbers?
So, unfortunately, I don't have a straight answer for this because for everybody, it's a little bit different. But if you are assuming that you have no other medical problems, then below 200 is generally what we're looking for, and that's the total cholesterol. But there are other parts of our cholesterol. There's the LDL, which most of us call the bad cholesterol, and that one we want to be low. Optimally, we want it below 100 if you have no other medical problems, often lower if you have other things. And then there's actually good cholesterol, the HDL, and that one we want to be high, and we want it to be over 40 for men and over 50 for women. So it really depends on who you are and what other medical problems you have.
And someone else has texted in, could you ask the doctor if an A1C of 5.7 is concerning or actually considered pre-diabetic? I don't know if you know offhand what that is on the whole lipid panel, but sometimes you can have, I know blood sugar is supposed to be under 100, but if it's creeping up a little over 100, sometimes that's not pre-diabetic. Obviously, talk with your doctor about the results, correct?
Correct, right. So the A1C, the hemoglobin A1C, is a measure that is 3 months, essentially, of your blood sugar, is how I describe it. It's the sugar that's, like, attached to your red blood cells. 5.7 is the, like, very beginning of what is considered glucose intolerance or prediabetes. And many people go on to never have diabetes that get in that range, but it's definitely a signal that we need to be paying attention and thinking about what your diet looks like, what your exercise habits look like, and be cautious that it doesn't progress on to diabetes. Prediabetes itself doesn't change your cholesterol expectations, but it's just one other thing that we want to pay attention with healthy eating, exercise, and just good taking care of ourselves.
Yeah, we do have to take care of our bodies because we don't want them to give up on us.
Exactly.
And I'm going to throw one more out at you from 630. I get the whole shebang of the lipid panel that gives results for ApoB and LPAs along with particle sizes and inflammation markers. Again, your doctor will share the results with you, even though I peek in my chart before I see my doctor, which I think everybody does, doctor, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
it's rare that I look at people's results and can't see that they've already seen them.
Yeah, sneaky. Okay, so what do we need to know about particle sizes and inflammation markers? And a double-sided question here, is that really why we have a physical? I mean, I know I talked to my doctor and any issues that I had, I brought up with him. He checked my blood pressure, but the blood test and the urinalysis is what's going to give your doctor more answers about your health, right?
Again, it depends on your age and who you are, because sometimes I do annual physicals with people and we don't need to do any blood tests whatsoever because we've done them within the past couple of years and they were stable and they're not due yet. That changes a little bit as you get older, of course. After you hit 40, you need them a little bit more often. But to the different types of cholesterol numbers that are there, they each tell us something different. Some of them tell us that you're more at risk for cardiovascular disease, and so we're more likely to treat you or to use a lower LDL number. That's the bad cholesterol number. Some of them tell us that you have a hereditary risk of having higher cholesterol. So there's just different reasons for each one. And these are things that we didn't used to do 10 years ago. And so even just the information around cholesterol has changed a lot recently. And so you might be getting new tests that you had never gotten before when you go to your annual physical this year.
All right, perfect. Thanks for clearing that up. We do have a statin question coming up, but we're going to take a break quick right now. 312-981-7200, This Week in Health with Dr. Santina Wheat here on WGN. Wendy Snyder here on a Sunday morning with Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency at Del Nor Hospital. I had mentioned that John Landecker does the boogie check, and evidently we are doing the cholesterol check this morning because a lot of people have questions about it. And statin medications, we've talked about them before, Dr. Wheat, and 630 mm-hmm. wants to know if there are alternatives to statins without causing muscle pain.
There are statin alternatives. There is a class of medications that is actually primarily an injection, and it's a type of medication we talked about a few weeks ago before I went on vacation. It's the PCSK9 inhibitor class, and so they're usually used alongside statins, but if someone can't tolerate a statin because of that pain, then this is another option.
And you can also, I know it sounds crazy, but I was put on one type of statin medication originally, and I did feel that muscle pain. And mm-hmm. I went to my doctor, and they put me on a different one and a lower dose to start, and I kind of built up, and I have not had muscle pain since. So some can actually be better than others at preventing that pain, correct?
That is absolutely right. There's typically two different types of statins, and if somebody has pain in one class, I will switch them over to the other class, and they often don't have that same discomfort. And like you said, especially if somebody has experienced some discomfort originally, I'll start low and then increase as they tolerate, because sometimes it's just about a lower dose or a different one.
And this is the last comment I'm going to make on statins, and then we'll move on to a new subject. But I just want to warn you listeners that the internet sometimes, when you Google, pops up old information, because Dr. Wheat, we had talked about my doctor suggested taking a vitamin D supplement. And then I read that you're not supposed to take vitamin D with statins. And I looked at the date of this article and it was like, I don't know, 2017 or something. So is it safe to take vitamin D with statin medications?
You know, I have never told people not to do it. I'm sure that there are some people that can have some interactions, but typically it's viewed of as safe as long as your liver is normal, because they both clear in the liver.
Okay. Well, you have just brought me to our next topic, Dr. Wheat. Liver injuries are on the rise. A lot of people think fatty liver disease is caused by drinking, but I know several people that really don't drink at all and have fatty liver disease. And now there's another thing that may be contributing to higher numbers. Talk to us about this.
Yeah, so there's actually a lot of things that can impact your liver, because your liver is what clears things from your body. But one of the common things that's not alcohol that can actually increase pain or discomfort and damage to your liver is actually Tylenol or acetaminophen. It's something that is generally thought of to be safe and is over-the-counter and is when you use it at the recommended doses, but is something that if you take more than what the bottle recommends, really can cause problems. And this is especially true if you're at risk for liver damage for other things. Say you also drink alcohol, or you also have liver damage because of previous viruses, or even just some people who have diabetes or overweight often have some damage to their liver as well. And so if you have any of those things, then it makes it a reason to be more cautious.
All right. So, and it has not been proven at all that Tylenol causes autism, just to throw that out there.
Yeah.
But it can have, some issues on your liver, and yet ibuprofen can have some issues on your stomach. So what do we take when, we have a headache?
I mean, you still can take them. It's just to make sure that if it says take one or two tablets, that's all that you take. Don't take seven, which is sometimes what I've seen people do, that they think that taking more will help them and let them last longer. So just really talk to your doctor about which is the best for you with your other medical conditions, and just take it when you need it, not when, like, as a preventative.
I'll tell you the truth. I used to use it pretty regularly. Oh, I got a headache. I'm going to take a Tylenol. You know, sometimes your headache could be you're a little dehydrated. So give it some time and see if it doesn't get better. By all means, take it, right?
Absolutely. Hydration, sleep, food are some of the most common reasons why people have headaches or even allergy symptoms. So try to take care of those things. And if that doesn't work, then absolutely you can take it. Just make sure it's within the safe limits.
Can humidity do something to give you a headache? Because I am so sick of this humidity we are having lately.
You know, it certainly does to me. So absolutely. There are some of us that feel more pressure when it's humid like this. I personally get migraines, and I get them when it's humid and rainy out. So absolutely, the change in the air pressure is something that causes some of us to have headaches.
And somebody texted in about some joint pain because of the humidity. I have had two knee replacements, one of them like 17 years ago, and that's great. And then the other one like 7 years ago, and it's not so great. And it's been sore every day now. Even after a replacement, can this humidity affect your joints?
Can. And the reason for that, I think, is that because it can make your joints actually swell. And that swelling doesn't feel good. When it's humid, it just puts more pressure on our joints. And so absolutely, it can make us feel more tight and more sore. And when the fluid shifts in our bodies, just in general with this type of weather, everything can feel more sore.
Okay, and it's getting to be that time of year where I start thinking about getting my flu shot, and I procrastinated last year and kind of forgot. So I usually shoot for October. Is that a good time? And is this new flu shot that I've read about better than the ones we've been using in the past?
So to answer the first question, yes, I think that October is generally a good time, unless you're going to be traveling earlier than that. Think about it being at least 2 weeks usually for a vaccine to do any good. So if you're going to be at a big event in the beginning of October, then you probably want to get your vaccine a little bit earlier so that you are protected. And there's this new flu shot that's coming out, and it is a flu shot that's made differently. It's an mRNA vaccine. Most of us learned about mRNA vaccines with the COVID vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
So far, the data is showing that it might be more effective, yes, than the traditional flu shots. And the main reason for this is that it can be made faster. And so the scientists are able to see a little bit more what strains are potentially coming in. The traditional flu shot, they have to guess what flu strain is going to be impacting us. And so it works depending on whether that guess was right or not. And that's usually 6 to 8 months in advance of flu season. This new type of vaccine, it's going to be only 2 to 3 months in advance of this season. So they're able to see what's happening in other parts of the world, see what strains are coming our way. And so it could actually be more effective. And so I'm excited to see what this brings for us. So far, it's only going to be approved for those who are over the age of 50.
I can't take it because I'm not over 50. Yeah. I'm sorry. So only over the age of 50 at that point.
Yeah. So not everybody can run out and get this.
Okay. And I do remember that I did not get my flu shot last year. And for last November, I had the flu so badly and I wasn't worried about dying. But mm-hmm. if I had gotten the flu shot, it wouldn't have been like 5 days in bed. It might have been half of that. So I am not going to skip it this year, Dr. Weed. I swear to God.
Good for you. I hope that nobody skips it this year. I would like everybody to stay healthy.
Yeah, it's no fun. I hadn't had the flu since I was a little kid. And then I gave it to my husband who had asthma and he was in the hospital for 8 days with double pneumonia. So, you know, you don't know how sometimes your flu could affect someone else. So think about it. If you don't want to, entirely up to you. And COVID shots that October as well. Can we just do them both at the same time?
You can do them together at the same time. I haven't seen much information yet about the one for this upcoming season, but I do that with my own family just to get it done with. I'm the type of person that would rather get all of the vaccines at once and yeah. feel miserable for a day and then just keep going.
All right, and I'm going to add the pneumonia vaccine this year, so I'm going to be vaccine Wendy. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Hope you had a great vacation and we look forward to talking to you again.
Absolutely. Have a great week.
You as well. Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaughan Northwestern Family Medicine Residency at Del Nor Hospital in Geneva. Some great advice. And, we have to do a correction here. Everybody's, texting in Dave Schwann saying that Joni Mitchell wrote, Woodstock, the song. So we have to give her
writing
credit.
Joni Mitchell wrote the song, but Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young did it, and Matthew Southern Comfort did it. But
absolutely.
Glad to know that Joni was there. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That she was the writer of that.
Somebody wanted you to give Joni Mitchell credit, so that's what I'm doing.
Gotta do it.
And the news is now from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Three stories.
Story time.
Two truths.
Story like that's gotta be true.
True.
One big fat lie.
Liar!
It can't be true.
Liar!
Can you spot the lie?
Liar!
It's two truths.
That may be true.
And Eli.
More stories. More stories.
I got a story.
All right. It's official now. Eli, you have an open for your segment. This is so exciting.
I feel so official. This is amazing. Thank you again, Ernie, for that. That's awesome.
Yes, that is great. So the segment is two truths and Eli.
Nailed it.
I say it wrong every time. Two truths and Eli. That, yep. I'm saying it that like that.
That's all you need.
And Eli will explain it, but if you'd like to text in and play along at home, it's the at-home version, 312-981-7200, you can listen, Eli will explain, and then you can text in what you think is the fake story, 312-981-7200.
Yeah, that's right. We had a bunch of votes in last time we played. I love seeing the text line light up with a bunch of answers. So please play along. And if you heard the abridged version of the rules in the intro there, they're going to be three stories brought to you. Two of them are true. One of them is the Eli, a false story, in fact. And your job, Wendy and guys and all the listeners, is to figure out which one of those fake stories it is. And for the first time in my two truths history, all three of my stories are sports themed. I'm sorry. I had to break my glass. I had to go to my... it's head full of sports for this one because normally I can find other stories, but the sports world just had too much to offer up this time, so you're just going to have to indulge me.
All right, I'm ready.
So here's story number one. A minor league baseball team is issuing an apology after a manufacturing issue resulted in their bobblehead night promotion bearing an uncanny resemblance to a player they traded 3 months ago. The single-A ball club had his roster overhauled at the trade deadline a few weeks ago, as is the nature of baseball, but it's hard to write this one off as Luke Stevens was dealt in a minor league deal back in May. All seemed fine leading up to Jake Rogers' bobblehead night this past week, where fans of the ballpark were handed a bobblehead that scarily resembled Stevens' likeness, with the New Jersey number quickly painted on. The team says the mix-up was a supply chain issue, as offering fans a sincere, if slightly embarrassed, exchange program.
All right, story number one. I don't know anymore. Okay, story number two.
An NFL rookie has packed up his bags and left for Hollywood after receiving an offer he, quote, cannot refuse. No, it's not High School Musical, and no, it's not Glee. A former Nebraska football player and up until this weekend member of the Cincinnati Bengals, Sierra Wright, announced that he will be stepping away from training camp to pursue a leading role in an upcoming movie. Wright has some acting experience to his name, having a couple titles as a child actor, but have never seen a movie plot play out like this. Maybe he'll be in that new Bears Hallmark Christmas movie coming out this year, or maybe the Bengals just became the first team to officially lose a training camp battle to Hollywood.
All right.
And here's story number three. The World Badminton Championships are calling on monkey whisperers to prevent monkeys from crashing the competition. The event is being held in India for the first time since 2009, and the India Open event back in January already had its party crashed as droppings and part of its bird's nest were falling from the ceiling of the stadium due to the culprits. Enter the monkey whisperers, who were hired on to disrupt the monkeys from interrupting play at the world event. There are 3 to 4 monkeys and 2 fat ones who many say are dangerous, said one of the monkey whisperers, but we make specific noises that drive them away. We know our stuff. There are perils in this profession, and sometimes we get bitten as well, said another, but it's all part of our trade. We get bitten and move on. No injections, nothing. Just chili powder on the wound, and we're back in action. And it's the only tournament in the world where no monkey business is taken extremely literally.
No more monkey business. Okay. Here's where we can ask Eli questions. 312-981-7200. What do you think is the not true one? Schwani, what are you thinking?
I'm rattling this around in my head, and I've concluded that sometimes the most outrageous story is actually true. So I'm thinking the third one is a truth. I'm going to go with the first one as the lie.
I think the bobblehead is a fake story.
Yeah.
All right. The minor league team, they issued a bobblehead after their player was traded. I could see that happening. A Bengal going to become a movie star. I could see that happening. And I'm with you, Schwani. The monkey whisperers is so outrageous. That has to be true. Mm-hmm.
Well, it was like the one last week or the week or 2 weeks ago where the bear invaded something. Oh, I know what it was. The students had a bear for
Oh, they made bear jerky.
They made bear jerky.
Bear,
yeah.
Bear pastrami was the
yeah.
story.
And yeah.
That one was real.
Okay, that's weird. Tony, what do you think?
Well, I agree with Schwani. That last one is kind of a little outrageous. So I am going to say that one is true. I'm also going to say the first one with the bobblehead is true as well, because Eli mentioned Jake Rogers, and he was just claimed by the White Sox not long ago, so I'm thinking that has a possibility of being true. So I'm going to go with the NFL player going to Hollywood, because I didn't hear anything about that, so I'm going to go with the second one as the lie.
I kind of go with number two also. Schwani, you want to stay with
All
one,
right,
or
no,
do we have
to be
unanimous?
I'll defer to you, yeah.
Well, okay. Most of the listeners are saying number one is the
number
false one.
Number one is the false one? Yeah,
it might be.
So,
well,
it seems like you're all in agreement on one thing, so why don't I take you out to India and we can hear what's going on with the monkey whispers.
Okay.
Do you want to hear what the monkey call sounds like?
Yes.
That sounds like the hog calling contest at the state fair.
Yeah,
it
does. All right.
So
well,
you got me there. Story number three, the badminton championship with the monkey whispers is true. So we're down to a 50-50. Is it the minor league bobblehead incident or the NFL player packing up his bags for Hollywood?
Again, the listeners and Dave Schwann think it's the bobblehead. Tony and I think it's the NFL player to become a movie star. We got to pick one. What do we do?
Well, I know Jake Rogers was just in the minor leagues, though, so it seems like that one, I don't know, it just feels like that one would be true.
I'm staying with number two.
I'm sticking with my gut.
Can Chwani, do we have to be unanimous?
Wendy, I'm going to have you be the deciding factor. That your name's on the show here. But you can totally take anyone's opinion into account.
I'm taking my own opinion.
So one more time, lock in your final answer.
Oh, I'm probably going to be wrong. All right. The Bengal going to Hollywood.
Well, let's hear from Bengals head coach Zach Taylor. So that was the true story about C.R. Wright. He had one of his biggest roles as a child is he played LeBron's son in the remake of Space Jam.
Oh.
Yeah, we don't know what this new role he's taken is, but he has packed up his bags. He has not fully quit football, but he is taken away. And, Tony, I do feel bad. I just put two names together and landed on Jake Rogers. I didn't really understand in the moment that it was a former minor leaguer. So that was, in fact, the lie. And I do feel bad that I kind of tripped you up there with a real sounding name that I had intention of being
real. It's okay, though.
All right. I got to say something. I will never go against Dave Schwann ever again. The listeners.
Schwann, you had me from the start.
I may not be able to read through newscasts. I'm stumbling all over the place this morning, but I got this one.
Great, yeah, great job to the listeners, though. Everyone had me on story number one.
Tony, you and I stink at this game.
We do. We're bad. I'm 0 for 1.
Yeah. I'm pretty bad at it. Schwani.
Actually, no. Last the one about the bear jerky, I
we won that
was,
one?
No, I thought I that won was that the, one. I thought that was the lie, but it wasn't.
Yeah, I'm really terrible at this game, but I enjoy it every week. It's Two Truths and Eli.
There it is.
And we will play it again next week, right?
Yep.
Awesome. All right, Schwani, I will never go against you again, ever. And that was tricky throwing a real White Sox trade in there because I believe Tony. I will never believe Tony again.
Yeah, I had no intention of that part being in there. I will do better as a fake story reporter next
That's
time.
That's right, yeah. There you go.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and then more fun here on WGN. Is this Counting Crows? I love this song. Good choice, Eli. Adam Derwitz, is that his name?
Well, you're putting it on the spot.
Oh. Aha.
You got me.
All right. It's a Sunday morning, and we just got an update that the Air and Water Show is not canceled, but it's starting at noon as opposed to, I believe, the 10 o'clock start time. Hopefully it will go off at noon as planned. It is super foggy out there. And, Tony, somebody was wondering about the Cubs game. Is it starting at a different time today than usual? I sometimes trust the texters, and maybe I shouldn't.
Yeah, and I may have said it wrong, too, but it is a 2:10 start today.
Okay. Not usual.
Or 2:15, because it's on ABC. It's not the typical 1:20 first pitch.
All right, and every listener is a genius, because every single one chose number one.
I got to get better. Someone said they picked it because it was the shortest story, which is a really good point. A couple other ones had quotes, so maybe I got to write a couple more lies in there to beef up my stories.
It worries me that you're such a good liar because, you know, can never trust a liar.
I use my powers for good only.
Okay,
for
all
good
right.
Only.
Now, are you guys considered Gen Zers? Because I don't even know what that is. What is the Gen Z cutoff?
Yeah, I think it started around like... Is it like 98 or something? I know we're a part of it. I don't know when it ends, but...
Sorry. I was asking for the audio of when Tony...
Give me 2 seconds. Yeah.
And then I can talk to you, Eli. Yeah, I didn't know... the Gen Z is people born between 1997 and 2012. I should know that because those are my sons. But Tony really pointed out that I'm not a Gen Zer. Remember that, Tony?
Well, my grandma always used to drink it, so sometimes we'd have it over at her house.
Don't ever say that to me again. Ever. Do you remember that,
Tony? I do remember that. We were talking about Diet Right.
RC.
Yeah.
Yeah, my grandma. Usually it's like my mom. And, you know, somebody will say, oh, my mom has told me that. So one of my coworkers at the plant shop, my mom. But no, you went right to grandma. Thanks for that.
Next time I'll just say my mom.
Yeah, that's perfect. So you guys are getting blasted. And Eli, you're a Gen Zer, right?
Yep.
All right. Millennials. I don't know who gets ripped on more. Millennials or Gen Z? I think millennials got it more. Do you feel like you're being teased more? Because millennials really got a bad rap.
I just feel like it's just people that are younger, no matter what generation it is, I feel like always get attacked more, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're probably right. Well, there is a guy, Thomas Morton. He wrote a piece in the New York Times, and he works the door at a club in Chicago, and he was saying that Gen Zers dress like they've never worn clothes before. So I wanted to talk about this. Fleece pullover and white ball cap pulled down way too far over the eyes. That's a jock. He's claiming he can tell what people are wearing. Fleece pullover, white ball cap pulled down way too far over the eyes. That's a jock. Torn up gray hoodie over enormous jeans whose cuffs are soaking up puddle water. That person smokes weed. Same hoodie, but sleeves pushed up past the elbows. Watch out. That's the universal signifier for meth. Am I missing something, or people still do meth? I'm so out of touch. I really am. I thought that, I didn't think that was a popular drug.
I can't say it's ever come across my desk.
No.
Good. Keep it that way, boys. So this is written by a middle-aged man who works the door at a bar in Chicago. The other night, a guy came in with a shoulder-length butt cut. What is that? I don't know anything. I am your grandma, Tody. The other night, a guy came in with a shoulder-length butt cut and his T-shirt tucked into his jeans, and that's a dork. Do you tuck T-shirts into your jeans? You guys don't, do you?
Not typically. I mean, not unless, maybe if I'm like wearing khakis and like a polo or something,
I was gonna say, like,
or dress clothes.
If I have like a jacket or something and a T-shirt's probably gonna run longer underneath, then yeah, I'm tucking it. But like if I'm like at work, I'll tuck into a belt. But it's not like when going out,
No.
Yeah, I.
But I'm also not the guy that wears like the baggy jeans now too. That's super in with Gen Z, I guess, where we're going the complete opposite of the skinny jeans route.
Yeah.
Where you wear the baggiest jeans possible. I just wear to wear clothes that fit. That's my whole thing.
Baggy jeans, but a lot of guys are wearing shorter shorts too now.
Skies out, thighs out.
Yeah.
Skies out, thighs out. All right. I don't mind a T-shirt tucked in. It just depends on what you're wearing and what the T-shirt is.
And what it may say.
Yeah.
I have seen a certain word on T-shirts that I can't believe people are wearing it in public.
Oh, God, now I got to know. Can you give us a hint? Can we play charades without swearing?
No.
Can I buy a vowel?
No, you know what I'm talking about.
I do?
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, well, this guy is saying no one has ever worn clothes before. That's what it looks like Gen Z is doing. JNCO jeans with a blazer, a cardigan sweater, tucked into camo pants with no belt, a T-shirt over a peasant dress with sleeves pulled through with a belt. What's JNCO jeans? I have no idea. I am lame. High-waisted jeans over women's navels. You know what? I just say wear what fits. I'm with you, Eli, and wear what's comfortable. I guess skinny jeans are not in style anymore. I'm wearing them today, and I love them, and I'm going to wear them. And they're cut a little short, so crop cut, I guess ankle cut, but I got my checkerboard Vans on, and I like that look, so I'm going to wear that. Can't we just wear what we want?
I think that's a great idea.
And cargo shorts for men? I don't have a problem.
Yeah. I
do not have a problem with them at all.
I'm wearing them right now.
Okay, good. Because everybody seems to say that cargo shorts for men have gone out.
I don't think that's true. I've seen them in the store, and I like them because you can, you know, if you're out on a outdoor hike or something like that, you can carry extra things in the pockets.
Well, that's what I think is so beneficial to you guys with cargo shorts. You don't have a purse. So this is perfect for you guys because there's two on the side, then two other on the side, then two in the back. You have six pockets.
I wasn't a fan of cargo shorts growing up because I thought they were a little too bulky with the pockets, but like if I just wasn't carrying a ton of stuff to need them. I like wearing just like khaki shorts that just have like the standard pockets.
Like a flat cut?
Yeah, yeah, like I, that's what I'm wearing now.
I'll do both.
Just please, people, wear what you want.
I used to throw a fit as a kid between khaki and cargo shorts with my parents. I was so picky about it for no reason whatsoever.
I just, yeah, Gen Z. I do whatever you want because you got to go for comfort and go what looks good. But do look in the mirror. Because if it looks good and you're comfy, just go ahead. Please stop the mean. It's Wendy, it's Sunday, and Dave Schwann has your news. Then we're going to talk TV with Alex Zalbin. So what are you guys watching? 312-981-7200. It's WGN. Well, it's time for our television, man. It's Wendy Snyder here along with entertainment journalist Alex Zalbin. He is the host and producer of the Comic Book Club podcast, and you can find him at comicbookclublive.com. Happy Sunday to you, Alex.
Happy Sunday right back to you, Wendy. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I have been watching a lot of TV lately. Really now getting into my goofy 28th season of Big Brother because really just a lot of people that I just don't like. There are two people from Survivor that are on, and I may have found one person I actually like in the whole cast, and it's Dee. She was the winner two times of Survivor, and now she's vying for $750,000 to be the last person standing in the house of Big Brother, and I'm pretty sure she's not going to win because think about this, Alex. If you are in a house with somebody and you're going for $750,000 and this person has already won over $1 million twice on Survivor, wouldn't you want her out?
Oh, she's gone. Yeah. I don't even watch the show, and I can tell you she is gone.
I know. It's just, it shouldn't matter because a lot of people lie about what they do for a living. And that way it may seem like they could use the money more. Like if somebody's a lawyer and is in there, people want to vote them out, but they know that she won lots of money twice on Survivor.
Yeah, I think that does kind of eliminate you in a certain way, and it certainly doesn't make you the underdog, and everybody wants the underdog to always win these things. So, fingers crossed for her if she is your favorite. I do hope she wins.
I don't care.
I'm doubtful. You don't care. All right.
I mean, really, I hate watching this season. I've talked to a lot of listeners that are not really, they're into it, but it's like, it's kind of fun sometimes to hate watch. And, I kind of do that. I saw the final Larry David episode and I thought it was fantastic. But Larry is just so hateable. He really truly is. So I hate watched that too.
Yeah, he knows what his character is, and his character is the curmudgeon that nobody likes. I've never met him in real life, so I don't know what he is like in real life or not, but that's his comedic niche. And he, the name of the show, by the way, was Life, Larry, and the Pursuit of Unhappiness. It was on HBO and HBO Max. You can stream the full season right now. It's a sketch comedy show that is about the history of America. It's star-studded. And yeah, I'm looking forward to him doing something else that's a little less weird, but I guess we'll see.
All right. And last week I wanted to bring up Reacher because this listener has been texting in for weeks on end to talk about Reacher. Tell us about that.
Sure. This is actually back on Prime Video now for season 4. This is an enormous hit. The first 3 episodes of the 4th season are up right now, and it's going to run 8 total through September 16th. It stars Alan Ritchson, basically the largest man alive, and I'm sort of not exaggerating, though they keep finding people larger than him to fight against him. And he plays a former major in the United States military corps who just travels around the country, gets into trouble, solves mysteries. That's the basic gist of it. It's based on a series of hit books by Lee Child. And folks might remember that there are actually 2 Tom Cruise movies about Jack Reacher that were made back in the day, which was very weird because Jack Reacher is described as the largest man alive. And Tom Cruise, no shade to him, he's a big movie star, is not. He's a tiny little guy. But in the new season, Reacher encounters a woman who may or may not be a suicide bomber on a train. He gets in a little bit of trouble from there, and the mystery spins out. If you miss the old school... I don't know why this is the only thing that I'm thinking of, but the Incredible Hulk, where he'd go from town to town and he'd be like, oh, I got in a little bit of trouble and I help people out at the end of the day, that very old school type of television. Reacher is the thing you definitely want to check out on TV.
All right. I should look into that. I've never seen a minute of it, and I hear a lot of people like it. So
it's a big hit, and not only is there season four, but there's a spinoff called Neely that is involving one of the characters that's going to debut in full on the finale day of Reacher, September 16th, and they've already picked it up for a fifth season, so it's going to be continuing next year as well. It's actually really nice to have these sort of very consistent, very basic TV shows coming out year after year after year. That's how you build a fan base.
Yeah, totally. Did I hear a rumor that... is South Park coming back?
South Park is coming back.
Did it ever go away?
You know, it is coming back on September 16th, so we're about a month away from it at this point, and it's going to be on Comedy Central and Paramount Plus. The thing about South Park at this point is it's kind of whenever they want to make it and however they want to make it. It's a very sporadic episode release structure. They did a couple of movies, not movies, but just sort of longer episodes that were exclusive to Paramount Plus. They've done seasons in the middle there. Sometimes the seasons stop in the middle and then they come back. It's basically if they've got something to say about the world today, they do a couple of episodes of South Park and then they dip out after that.
And they're making how many millions of dollars?
So many billions of dollars. Just an absolutely insane amount of money.
I was talking to someone, because when South Park first came out, it was must-see TV for me. My husband mm-hmm. and I watched it all the time, thought it was hilarious. Then it went away in my habit, and then I watched it, I think, when it came back. But now someone, one of my friends said, all it is now is about Stan's dad. It's like mm-hmm. it's about the adults more than the kids. Is that true?
Pretty much. I don't know. I haven't watched it as consistently as well. And at this point, it's going into the 29th season.
Wow.
So I sure missed about, like, I don't know, 20 or so seasons in the middle there. But it's still part of the cultural conversation. Trey Parker and Matt Stone, who created the show, still clearly know how to really needle people. Because every time an episode comes out, even if it's not the funniest thing in the world, it gets talked about.
Yeah.
It gets buzz. So they know what they're doing, and they're sticking with it.
All right. And that's September 16th, I think you said.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's a show that I started watching when it came out and found it to be hilarious. And I still love it. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
This is one of my favorite shows, and this is contrasting to South Park. I can't believe how funny it continues to be heading into the 18th season of the show, which is going to be debuting tomorrow on FX and Hulu. I've seen most of the season. Like, I don't know if you can even get into spoilers, but if anybody hasn't watched it before, it involves a couple of folks who work at a place called Patty's Pub in Philadelphia. They're basically the worst people alive. Running the pub together, but they also are very hot button with a lot of the stuff that they talk about, but the joke is always on them. It's always on them being absolutely terrible people, including Danny DeVito, who plays this guy Frank Reynolds, who is maybe the most disgusting character in the history of TV. But it continues to be hilarious and funny, and in the new season, there's a lot of different things they're playing with. They go to a Ren Faire one episode. There's an episode that's a riff on Back to School, the Rodney Dangerfield movie where they go back to college.
Ugh.
It's absolutely ridiculous, and I just, even when the episodes don't quite hit, there's still a couple of great jokes in there. 18 seasons in, they're just still killing it. It's amazing.
I love Caitlin Olsen. I think she is the funniest woman ever, or one of the, it's really hard to put the top one, but I love her so much. I loved her on the show The Mick. She was hilarious. She's in this show High Potential, where she plays an individual who has a gift of being able to read someone and know if they're lying or not. And I kind of got into it. Has that been renewed?
Yeah, that's been picked up for a third season, and that's been an enormous hit. I don't want to say it's the biggest show on TV, but it's kind of wild how much that has blown up. And that's, like we're talking about with Reacher, I think it's really underrated how network TV has once again figured out how to do these procedural formats like this, where kind of it's the same thing every episode. There's mildly serialized elements that go throughout. And like you said, Caitlin Olsen is fantastic. So shouts to her for being able to do both High Potential, which is the straightforward procedural, and then also the ridiculous comedy of It's Always Sunny at the same time. It's just great to see, and I'm very happy for her.
Oh, me too. And right in the middle is playing Jean Smart's daughter on Hacks. Because she's a little cray-cray and a little normal. Well, not normal at all. But she is just really funny. That's all I have to say.
She's great, and the last thing that I'll mention about it is my absolute favorite part of the episodes I've seen of It's Always Sunny are when Caitlin Olsen and her brother, is played by Glenn Howerton, pair up, and they just make each other the worst. Like, they bring each other down another notch, and that's the most that I laughed watching. I've seen 8 of the 10 episodes of the new season. They're just so funny together. It's great.
Okay, and where and when do I see this?
It's Always Sunny is premiering Monday at, I want to say, 9 p.m. It might be a little later, I'm sorry, on FX, FXX, and Hulu.
And that's tomorrow.
Yep.
Ah, I love it. Okay, quick break, and then we have some phone calls for you. He is Alex Zalbin, and we're WGN Radio. Sweet D, it's Wendy Snyder, and Alex Zalbin is on the line with us. We're talking TV, and I messed up a couple of times. First of all, D won Survivor once from Big Brother, but was on it twice. She only won once. And I think I messed up describing Caitlin O'Connor's... forget it. I'm just done talking. Caitlin Olsen in High Potential. I said she could tell when people tells lies. I'm mixing that up with Natasha Lyonne and Poker Face. So,
yes.
That's why I have you on, Alex, because I don't know. I just watch stuff and, you know, that's all. But yeah, High Potential is, because of the title, I should have known that she has a high intellectual potential and she can solve crimes. She was a cleaning lady who now solves crimes.
That's my fault. I should have caught that as well. So we both take the blame.
Well, people call me misinformation, and I live up to that name all the time. Joe has been on hold for a while. Joe, you want to talk to Alex about a show you like? What is it? Oh, hang on. Now I didn't put the phone up. There you go. Hey, Joe.
Okay. I was wondering about Spider-Noir. The series with Nicolas Cage, it was on Amazon. I was just wondering if it was coming back for a second season.
Yeah, great question. Thanks, Joe. I love that show. It is goofy and weird if anybody hasn't checked it out. It is a film noir version of Spider-Man, like Joe said, starring Nicolas Cage, and all of it is on Prime Video right now. In terms of a second season, we don't actually know. I would suspect not, just because it was crazy expensive, and Nicolas Cage has said, even though he was really interested in doing TV, he was exhausted by the end. He felt like he had filmed 8 films in a row. But it did pretty well. People seem to really like it. It got good reviews. Certainly Spider-Man is tearing it up at the box office. So I'm sure there's some discussions from Sony at the very least about, hey, how can we do this again? But it's not really guaranteed. And if there is, I wouldn't expect it for at least 2 years, if not more.
Wow.
Ooh.
Joe, did you see the Spider-Man movie?
No, I'm not a comic book guy at all. But I was flipping channels and I came across this, and it was, like he said, it was just kind of a fun little take.
Excellent. I love when that happens, when you come across something that's really good. Thank you for calling, Joe. I appreciate it.
Okay, have a great weekend.
You as well. And then Charles is on the line. Hi, Charles. Alex Zalbin.
Good morning. Wendy, you are my favorite. I could listen to you 24/7, 365.
Oh, you,
so there you go.
Thank you, Charles. Alex feels left out now, you know.
No,
so
it's all right. I'm okay. I also know that I have worth. Charles, what can we answer for you?
No, the question I have is, I've been amazed at the historical biographies and programs on Netflix. Are those History Channel programs, or are they done by Netflix? The one on booze and cigarettes and sex, and the one on Ulysses S. Grant.
Oh, is that my biography?
Yeah, well, exactly, Wendy. You got to watch it. It's really good. How condoms were made back in the 1800s. Fascinating.
That is fascinating stuff. I didn't know anything about these.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's... Oh, please, go ahead, Charles.
Go, Charles.
No, I said you get hooked on them. They're all historical and they're accurate, and it's really a pleasant way of learning what went on, you know?
Yeah. What do you know about it, Alex?
I don't know too much, but I do know, I believe they're Netflix originals, and certainly that's something that Netflix has been leaning really heavily into. We've certainly talked about that the past couple of weeks, how these sort of historical documentaries, true crime documentaries, they've been enormous for Netflix, and they've been pumping them out pretty much as fast as they can make them. So, if you're a fan of that sort of thing, that's definitely, there is a ton of content you can check out on Netflix right now.
I'll look into
that. Never knew about Ulysses S. Grant the way that program showed him. And the thing on booze and beer and condoms, Wendy, you got to check it out. It's really good.
I will. You've piqued my interest, Charles. Thank you so much for calling, and thank you even more for listening. Conan O'Brien is the funniest man who ever walked the planet. I adore him. He's a goof and a half. Will I be able to see his series? Are there more episodes coming?
There are. What a weird coincidence, Wendy. Conan O'Brien Must Go is going to be back on HBO Max on Friday, August 21st. There are going to be 4 episodes. This time he is heading to India, Morocco, the Philippines, and the Netherlands. And this is a different thing from Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. So it's just him going into another country and exploring it. But you got things to look forward to. Like, he does a Bollywood dance number in India. Mm-hmm. He traverses the Sahara in Morocco. So, like you said, he's the funniest man alive. He's effortlessly funny. And if you want to see him not only go to these places, but really respect the culture, which is a rarity for these sort of travel shows, it's a great thing to check out. Again, that's Friday, August 21st on HBO Max, and it's going to run for 4 weeks.
I know he knows he's being filmed, but he just is so genuine and so authentic and so real and hilarious. I just really love him.
That's the thing that really works about his stuff, is that he is very giving with his comedy and very open about it. He's always putting the joke on himself rather than necessarily somebody else, and that's what makes him a great host for things like this.
And someone texted, who is Caitlin Olsen married to? That would be Rob McElhaney. And he, I think, officially changed his name to Rob Mac, M-A-C, because nobody could pronounce it. He can't do that.
He did it. He's credited. I don't know if it was the last season, but I was very surprised in It's Always Sunny when they do the created by for the show. It says Rob Mack, and it was very weird to see. But yeah, he changed it.
My married name is McInerney, and everybody screws it up. And, you know, people are going to mess up your name. I'm Snyder, and everybody calls me Schneider. I don't don't give in to them. Just don't.
Hold strong, Rob Mack.
But yes, they've been married for a long time. I think they met on the set of Always Sunny.
They did, and I'm blanking on her name, which is kind of ironic. Mary Elizabeth Ellis, who plays the waitress on the show, is married to Charlie Day, who plays Charlie Kelly on the show, which is kind of hilarious because on the show, he is obsessed with her and she hates him, but... Very sweet relationships in real life.
And she is on the new Ted Danson show where he's playing like a kind of like a private eye type thing.
Yeah, that's A Man on the Inside on Netflix. And that show is just a warm blanket of a show. There's 2 seasons so far. And like you said, it's Ted Danson. The whole thing is he's older and retired. And so he decides to go undercover first at an old folks home in the first season and then a university in the second season. And Mary Elizabeth Ellis is very sweet as his daughter on the series.
It is a really good show. And I love how you describe it as a nice little comfortable warm blanket because it's pleasant. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Outer Banks. What is this?
This is one of my, I don't usually call things guilty pleasure shows, but this is definitely a guilty pleasure show. It is on Netflix. It's coming back for the fifth and final season on Thursday, I believe. And it's about a bunch of kids who live on the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And it's basically a mix between The OC and Goonies, where you have rich kids and poor kids living there, these different teens, but also they're searching for lost treasure. It has gone some bonkers places over the seasons. I've seen most of the final season, and it really keeps it up very nicely. It's just a very engaging cast of dumb kids doing dumb things while they look for treasure, and it's a lot of fun. So highly recommend checking that out on Netflix as it leads into the final season this Thursday.
Outer Banks. Okay, and finally, a little something comic booky, Lanterns.
Yeah, this is premiering tonight at 9 p.m. on HBO and HBO Max. This is based on Green Lantern, the classic DC Comics character. But think a little more True Detective than superhero here. It stars Kyle Chandler and Aaron Pierre, sort of the grizzled older cop and the rookie younger cop that he's training that doesn't particularly like him. They get embroiled in an earthbound murder mystery in the small town in Nebraska. And there are superhero aspects, but I've seen the first couple of episodes, and you don't need to like superhero stuff, but you do need to like murder mystery stuff on HBO on Sunday nights. If so, you'll have a great time with this.
Lanterns. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Alex. Always a pleasure. And people, you can find him as host and producer of the Comic Book Club podcast for over 20 years. And you can find him at comicbookclublive.com. Alex, have a great week. Thank you.
You as well. Thanks so much, Wendy.
Absolutely. And news time coming up now from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Good morning to you. It's Wendy Snyder on a Sunday morning, and we are going to talk tacos, if that's cool with everyone. We spoke about tacos a little bit earlier this morning. How do you determine which is your favorite? We'll try to find out. Coming up next weekend is the 13th annual Lakeview Taco Fest. And joining us now is Samantha Gonzalez. She is the owner of Fernando's Tequila Bar and Restaurant. Nice to meet you.
So nice to meet you. Thank you so much for having me. We got some margaritas in hand.
All right. I had a margarita yesterday because why not? And it was just your regular average lime margarita. I like the fresh lime juice because I like it a little tart. What is this kind of margarita you brought in today?
So actually today is National Hot and Spicy Day. So I thought it'd be fitting if I brought a spicy margarita. So this one is a cucumber habanero margarita. I have a heavy hand, so there's a lot of tequila in there.
I just have to tell you, I love spicy food. I don't know about drink. And this is smooth as silk. I can feel the heat, but it is not overpowering, and you can taste the freshness of the cucumber. Amen to this.
Yeah, it's refreshing. Cheers. Salud.
All right. Will these margaritas be available at the Lakeview Taco Fest?
Yeah, so they're going to have a lot of margaritas. There's over 14 different vendors selling tacos. So you could try everything from a steak taco, chicken taco, birria taco. We're actually going to be having an octo taco, which is octopus taco.
Really?
And it's super good. So it's get out there and try something new. It's adventurous taco.
Okay, so I grew up, I told you off the air, I didn't really know much about Mexican food, and my version of Mexican food was Taco Bell. That was lame of me, but then my husband was very into Mexican food. I fell in love with chili relleno, which is just, is it a habanero pepper?
It's a poblano pepper stuffed with cheese. Yeah.
And then breaded and probably washed in egg first and breaded and then pan fried.
Yes. Oh, it is so good when it's like the melty cheese and you could put it into a tortilla and make a taco out of it, put a little salsa.
So that's an option for a taco. And then I'm just boring. I'm typically just your steak taco with onion and cilantro, but a little bit of queso too. I got to have some cheese on it.
Yeah.
Cheese is the magic answer,
sure.
Isn't
That's
it?
Always for me too.
All right. So you got your steak tacos and chicken tacos. I've had those. Is there a preference over flour or corn? I told you off the air also, I'm a flour girl. Is that upsetting to you when people want flour?
Not at all, because honestly, so the traditional way is with a corn tortilla with cilantro and onion. No matter what the meat is, cilantro and onion, that's the traditional. But flour tortilla is so good, especially when they're fresh. And you'll see a lot of these vendors, they're actually there. And they have, if you peek in some of these tents, they got the tias and the abuelas in there making fresh tortillas. And
nothing like
flour tortillas, and they're so good. Yeah. They soak up all the juice from the taco.
But now a corn tortilla does its job as well. I love them with quesabirria tacos.
That's the best. Yeah. So we dip the corn tortilla in this chili oil, put it on the grill, top it with some cheese, put the birria meat on there, so it gets like nice and crispy. So it's a greasier taco, but it's the most delicious thing in the world. You dip it in this guajillo broth. It's so good.
And that's, I mean, the corn holds up better. You're the professional. I'm just the eater. But it seems like corn tortillas hold up better if you're going to fry them in a pan with some kind of consomme or oil or something like that.
Yeah, so because the flour tortilla, they kind of get, they puff up a little bit.
All right. So Fernando's Tequila Bar and Restaurant, you're an owner. It's family owned since 1984. What is your specialty there? First of all, let me give the address. You're in Lakeview, 3450 North Lincoln Avenue.
Yes, yep.
You're going to be one of the many taco restaurants that will be representing for the 13th annual Lakeview Taco Fest next weekend. We'll give you all the information, but what are your house specialties there?
Our margaritas are definitely very well known in the neighborhood. Like you said, we've been there since 1984. So it started with my grandparents. And my grandma, she's incredible. She used to be the one that was behind the host stand. My grandpa, late grandfather, he was behind the bar. And that's how they ran the restaurant. Then my dad got involved. And now, you know, last 15 years I've been involved.
You had no choice, right?
I was born into it. Yeah, right. I was making margaritas probably when I was like 5 years old.
Perfect
but our
daughter.
Margaritas are to die for. They're super good, fresh lemon and lime juice. And then our tacos, we have something called a molcajete, where it's kind of like fajitas cooked in a salsa topped with cheese, and you kind of make your own tacos out of it. It is so good. It comes bubbling to the table. You have to come and try it.
I would love to. And listeners, you can go to Fernando's Tequila Bar and Restaurant, 3450 North Lincoln Avenue. But you should also check out the Lakeview Taco Fest. Now, it starts next Friday, August 21st to the 23rd. And 14 local eateries are going to be there. And I'm going to say it wrong because I took French in high school, which hasn't helped me at all. I should have taken Espanol, but Lucha Libre style Mexican wrestling.
Yes, wrestling. Yes,
yeah.
There's going to be Lucha Libre wrestling every
day. That's the masked people.
Yes, it's so much fun. You have to come. It brings such a big crowd. They're wearing the masks and they're all wrestling, and it starts at 5 p.m. every day.
So each day, and there's a bunch of bands going on. A lot, you know, cover bands are really kind of the way to go because it's kind of expensive to get tickets to go see the real artists. So the cover bands, I think they call them tribute bands now.
Yes.
They do a great job. So music, Lucha Libre, Mexican wrestlers, and tons of tacos. Right?
Lots and lots of tacos, over 14 vendors, and margaritas, tacos, horchata if you don't want a margarita. That's the Mexican rice water. There's a lot of options over there. And Southport is such a great street. It's always really good energy on there, Southport and Addison. So everybody definitely needs to come out and try some tacos. And it's family friendly, dog
yes.
friendly too.
Oh, so that's good.
Bring everybody in the house.
3500 North Southport Avenue between Addison and Roscoe. Friday 4 to 10, Saturday 11 to 10, and Sunday 11 to 9. You'll see the Mexican wrestling every night at 5. And thank you for bringing this wonderful habanero and cucumber margarita.
Yes.
Where do you come up with concoctions like this where you decide, oh yeah, I think cucumber and a habanero pepper is going to be a good combo? How do you come up with these?
Everybody always loves a spicy margarita. For me, I'm not too crazy on spicy margaritas just because if I'm eating something spicy,
yeah.
I want to like refresh with something a little bit cool. So add in a cucumber, some cucumber juice muddled. Way more refreshing. Just a hint of heat is always the best. And yeah, so we got those. We got a mango nata margarita.
Mango nada.
Yes, so that's a it's a mango margarita. And if you've ever had the traditional mango nada, it's with a chamoy sauce. It's like a sweet and sour Mexican candy, like a but liquid form.
Oh.
And we kind of pour it around a glass. The tajin chili rim, super good. Tamarindo stick, mango margarita, so good.
So do you just come up with these combinations yourself, like trial and error?
Yeah, you know, you kind of, especially now, you kind of see what's trending, what flavors are trending. We also do like a Dubai chocolate horchata because, you know, the Dubai chocolate is super trendy.
It is, with the pistachio in the middle.
So we kind of play around, and right now soft serve margaritas are definitely a hit. So we'll definitely have some of those as well.
All right. I don't have a website here for tickets, the Lakeview Taco Fest. We will find it, for you.
It is a free event, but it's a suggested donation of $10 at the door. And that just helps the Friends of Lakeview. So, gives back to the community.
Yeah. Definitely. And it, you know, makes it possible for a taco fest to go on because who doesn't like a good taco? What's your favorite taco?
My favorite taco is definitely the birria taco. I love the nice greasy taco. Put it on the grill with the guajillo chili broth, and then you have it dipped in, and it's a nice, the oozy cheesy is the best. The oozier, the better.
Thank you so much for stopping in and bringing, you brought some birria tacos today.
I did.
How did that all start? I know it was like almost like, this is probably going to be so off, but like Italian beef started with kind of a tough, like a chuck roast, and the longer you simmer it, the more tender it becomes. Just obviously different spices between birria and Italian beef. But is that the same kind of concept?
Yeah, so it's actually the same meat as well. We use the beef chuck roast. So traditionally, it's actually made with goat. So back in Mexico, if you order a birria taco, it's actually going to be goat meat. But here in the States, we've kind of transferred over to using beef just because I think it's
because Americans don't get it. Yeah, and I wouldn't eat a goat if you want to know the truth.
So it's slow cooked, the chuck roast in like a guajillo, chili de arbol, garlic, onion, and it's slow simmered for about, you do 12 to 14 hours, and then it's until it shreds. And
yeah.
It's the most delicious thing. You could put it in a taco, in a burrito bowl. It's so good.
I had not had a quesabirria until like maybe a year ago, and just the spices in it are amazing. So thank you so much for coming up. It is a pleasure to meet you. Congratulations on the family-owned business. That's just really cool.
Thank you so much. And I definitely want to give a quick shout out to my grandma because I know she'll be listening.
Oh,
but
what's her name?
Her name is Carmen.
Carmen, you have a great granddaughter, Fernando's Tequila Bar and Restaurant, family owned since 1984. So not only is it authentic family recipes, there's a lot of love that goes in there too, right?
A ton of love.
Excellent. All right. And we'll get you, a website to find out more about the 13th annual Lakeview Taco Fest happening next week. Thank you so much for coming up and thank you for lunch.
Yes, of course. And cheers.
Cheers. Let's do it, baby. You know, they say you always remember your first. I never had a spicy margarita before. And thankfully, it's not too spicy.
Yeah, it's not too spicy. Good.
Thank you very much. Cheers. All right. We'll take a quick break and then back with more show here on 720 WGN. It's Wendy Snyder here with you. It's a Sunday morning, soon to be a Sunday afternoon. Coming up after the 11:30 news, we'll check in with Tanner Mitchell. You know him as Tanner the Planter. And I really love my indoor house plants. I got another one yesterday and I realized I don't have a place to put it. So, I really have a problem with it. Are you guys enjoying, some tacos? Tony, did you get some quesabirria? Your mouth is full. I just asked you at the worst time ever. I see in the camera, he just took a bite.
They're great, Wendy.
All right. Well, I love them too. Eli, you had it too. I know. I hope Schwani got some.
I'm getting through it right now myself.
All right. Well, I thank you for bringing it up. Samantha Gonzalez, I thought it was a pretty interesting thing. Her boyfriend, do you think I could mention this on the air? I don't know if I should.
He had the team anyway. I feel like, why not?
Her boyfriend came up with her, Brendan. Adorable. They're such a cute little couple. And it turns out he plays hockey, and he was the one who was usually sitting in a chair to be interviewed on a radio station. And he played with the Blackhawks for a little bit, huh?
Yeah, he was here for about half a season just before the pandemic hit. He started the year with the Coyotes in Arizona, then played with the Blackhawks up until the season got cut off, and then that short playoff run the team had right there.
And he plays overseas now, he said. Just a nice couple. I'm like, what, are you guys going to the Air and Water show? And they're like, no, we watched the practice on Friday. They said they had a great time, and then they went yesterday. Just really nice.
I've got his prospects page up right now. He's playing out in Switzerland now.
That is incredible. And they met at the restaurant, I think they said, family owned. So what a great thing. Shwani, did you get some quesadilla?
Oh, yes. 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 Underline yes. And I must go back. I have not been to Fernando's in a while. I need to go back now. Wow.
Well,
so good.
It's a taco fest. Really seems to be a great place to go because, honest to God, I could have a taco several times a week because there's so many different varieties. I love calamari. I know I didn't watch the octopus thing. I don't even remember what that documentary was called. I want to watch it because I absolutely love octopuses. And I learned it's not octopi. It's octopuses. I learned that from the Shedd Aquarium.
It's not octopi?
They said that is the plural of octopus is octopuses.
I've heard there's a bunch of different answers, like multiple answers.
Really? All right. Well, I believe the Shedd Aquarium.
Caved. Maybe they caved.
I believe the Shedd because we've all learned that it's octopi. They are so smart, octopuses. And I really want to watch that documentary, but I do like calamari. And then I'm torn between things. Like tonight I've decided I've worked like 9 days straight, and that's awesome, and I love it. And I work at a plant shop in LaGrange, Vagabond Botanical. I filled in for Bob, for Lisa. I'm here on Sundays. Tonight, I'm going to go home, and I am going to grill some steaks because I have a taste for a steak, and I'm going to drink. I'm going to have some Miller Lights, and maybe if they have any leftover margaritas here, I may have it. I wanted to bring some food news your way. All right, here's the thing. I don't typically try new items. I know what I like, and I like what I know. So Oreos, I like the traditional Oreo flavor. I will confess that I went from a regular Oreo to now a double stuffed if I'm going to have it. Because it really makes a difference. Triple stuff and mega stuff, too much. You need the wafer to cream ratio on, you need it perfect. And I think a regular Oreo, not enough cream inside. Double stuff is the way to go.
It goes the other way too with the thins. I think the thins also have a good ratio, like the double stuff.
Well, you eat healthier than I do.
You can eat more of the makes you feel better about yourself.
All right, that's a good point. Well, there are some new flavors of Oreos, which quite honestly, I think they've done way too many flavors. And my husband always buys like that new flavor of chip or the new flavor of Oreo. I never do it because I very much never like it. Although they have an Oreo banana pudding cookie that will be coming out, and that to me sounds pretty good.
That does sound good.
There was another one that was originally going to be a story for Two Truths and Eli a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you saw this collaboration they were doing with KFC.
I did.
But they were doing like a fried chicken flavor, and that was going to make Two Truths, but once I was told I couldn't really use many brand names, I had to cut that story out.
Yeah, because I think I talked about that on the morning show when I was in for Bob Surratt, which Bob is back tomorrow, by the way, so that's all. Today's Sunday? I got no idea what day
it's the Sunday
is. So the Oreo banana pudding cookie features layers of sweet banana and vanilla pudding in a deliciously delectable dual layered cream sandwiched between vanilla wafer cookies. And that's the magic. Vanilla wafer, banana pudding. I might try it.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it does. All right. Well, there's some other Oreos and we'll talk about that later. What's your favorite Oreo? What's your favorite taco? What's your favorite houseplant? We'll find out with Tanner the Planter, 312-981-7200 if you want to start texting in some questions. Or you can call 312-981-7200. Schwanee's News is now. Wendy Snyder here with you. And let's say hi to one of our friends, Tanner Mitchell. This is Tanner the Planter. Tanner, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Wendy, how about yourself?
I'm doing great. You have a new grandbaby, don't you?
Yes, ma'am. She's about 3 months old. It's fantastic.
And what is her name again?
Her name's Ella.
Oh, she is beautiful. If you follow Tanner the Planter on social or you have the Tanner the Planter app, what a sweet little baby. And what does Ella call you? What do your grandkids call you?
Well, she's our first grandbaby. She's only 3 months. So, but we're, the kids call me Tan. They're my stepkids. So this is technically my step grandkid, but Grandpa Tan is the projected future name. But, you know, kids choose for themselves, so who knows?
I know. I had cousins that called their grandmother Gog, and it was spelled G-A-A-G, and it sounds like, you know, a dinosaur or something. But you take what you can get when you're a grandparent. Congratulations. And
Thank you so much.
You and your lovely wife, Erica, are doing your little plant talk in the morning, and I love it. I really have a problem, Tanner. I just bought a new plant, and I brought it
home. Sounds like a good problem.
It is a good problem, but what do you do when you run out of room?
Well, this is what I always tell my people. You know, you got to... Let's see. Well, you can create more room, of course, right? With grow lights, you can have, you know, if you ran out of window space, so you can use grow lights. They can grow any plant that you want. You know, you just got to set them up. I'm actually doing a lighting course right now that I'm finishing up, or a grow light course rather. But other than that, something that I encourage is to try to get your friends into the hobby as well. More plant friends, the better, right? So maybe take some of those plants that you're not totally in love with anymore, or maybe just kind of there because they've been there for a while and maybe they don't totally bring you all the joy. Gift them to your friends. Get them into it.
But I like all mine and I don't want to get rid of them, Tanner.
Sounds like you need more space. You need more grow light space.
Well, you can purchase plants. Tannertheplanter.com pretty much covers everything. There's an app. You can purchase plants. There's a guide to 150 popular houseplants that you can download. And your on-demand courses, you have it all going on, don't you?
You know, we try to be as thorough as possible. We really believe in all of the powers and the joy that houseplants can bring, and it's a hobby you can do for a lifetime. So we're out there just trying to educate people with science-backed information that anybody can be consistent with, no matter the skill level or where they live. So we just are constantly trying to achieve that mission.
You can get the book. It has been my life-saving Bible for all my houseplants. It's called For the Love of Houseplants, Caring for and Keeping Plants with Confidence. And here comes a question from me right now. I got a polka dot begonia, which is also called something else that you would know, and I can't remember.
Begonia maculata.
Yes, that would be it. Okay. I have been very successful in propagating it, and I have one that's huge, and I have one that is failing. Is it common for plants of the same variety in the same spots where one fails and one thrives?
It can. Well, and the thing, too, is, and I've done this experiment so many times, or this demonstration rather, at our store, where I'll put a plant, literally their pots are touching each other, and from our human perspective it looks like they're in the exact same conditions. They're in the same window. I mean, they're literally right next to each other. But when you actually measure with a foot candle light meter, so a light meter that reads foot candles, you'll often find that one of them may be getting slightly less light than the other, or dramatically less light than the other. I mean, in the demonstration that I would always do at our store, I would put two plants next to each other in a south-facing window, and one of them was getting bright light, which is around 1,000-foot candles, and the one where the pot was literally right next to it was getting about 300-foot candles, which is borderline low light. So don't always assume that just because they're right next to each other, they're getting the exact same conditions. And then the other thing you have to consider, if, you know, they're from different plants, maybe they have different genetics. There are just so many things that can change that are subtle that can affect the growth of the plant.
And they are different plants. My son got me one, and that's the one that's failing. And it just is like long and leggy, which according to you, that means it's trying to reach out and grab light. And it's just kind of, can I just like, cut it off? And I checked the roots. They're small, but they're there. So I'm thinking maybe I should cut off the top with some leaves, propagate that. And, if I don't have a good root system, it's not going to get better, right?
Well, it can over time. So a lot of times when you have an imbalance of roots to leaves, the plant can struggle a little bit because there aren't enough roots to, you know, hydrate and give nutrients to the leaves above it. And so, and this happens a lot of the times when we get plants from big box stores, for example, who aren't able to grow out their plants really long. So their root systems very often are not very developed. So they have a bunch of leaves on top, but a very few roots down below. So this happens all the time when you get a plant from a big box store. When you bring it home, it starts to fail because it doesn't have the root system to sustain the leaves above it. And now that it's no longer in a greenhouse or an optimal environment, it will struggle to fill out those roots while still trying to maintain the leaves above it. So anytime you have a leggy plant, the only way to correct it, you know, for good and have it look nice and compact is to do exactly what you're saying. You have to propagate the top. You call it a chop and prop is what we call it. So you chop off the top, you propagate it. So then you would put the cutting down into the soil or, you know, root it in water or whatever you like, and then put it back down into the soil, resulting in a more full plant. But here's the key to success going forward. You don't want to get it leggy again, because if you don't fix the lighting, then it's just going to go leggy again. So you have to measure your light, make sure it's getting bright light, and then it should be nice and full and bushy from then on.
I took a screen grab of one of your videos about the light meter you recommend. Is there one in particular? I can't find it on my photos now, of course.
The only thing I would recommend against is using your phone as a light meter. There are apps out there that will, you know, say it's a foot candle light meter, but they're not accurate right now. I'm sure there will be a time and place where, you know, phone technology gets a good light meter reading, but for now, avoid the lights or avoid the meters on your phone and just get any light meter that you can afford. They go all the way from about, you know, $15 or $20 up to hundreds of dollars, depending on the accuracy and all the extra features. But just get something you can afford. But, you know, my horticulture friend who, you know, is a second generation grower, his family's been growing plants since the 70s. They still use like a $15 manual light meter, just the most cheap one they can do to grow all their plants out there in Florida. So just get the one you can afford.
Perfect. All right. He's Tanner the Planter. We have some questions and he has answers because that's what he does. 312-981-7200 is the number to call. We'll take a quick break and then plant talk, indoor plants only, with Tanner the Planter on WGN Radio. I love when things grow. It's Wendy Snyder here and we're talking to Tanner the Planter. Go to his website, tannertheplanter.com. You can get his book, For the Love of House Plants. You can order plants, tips and tricks. He's got it all going on over there. Tanner, we have some listeners who have questions for you. Ready to roll?
Let's do it.
All right. This is Nancy. Hi, Nancy. Here's Tanner the Planter.
Hi, Tanner. Yes, I have two peace lilies. One is really full. The other one, they may be different types of peace lily, but they did have the same type flower. And the other one is leggy and droopy all the time, and they're both in the same light. I even switch them one closer to the window than the other, but the one is all droopy.
Any suggestions?
A droopy peace lily is only because of leaf dehydration. So that could mean from overwatering or underwatering, because if the plant has been overwatered, that means that the roots, or at least some of the roots, have died off, and then there aren't enough roots to sustain all of the leaves above it. So I would check for root rot, especially if it's wilting and the soil is wet. So it's almost like no matter how much you water it, it remains wilted. That's a classic sign of root rot. And then, of course, if you're just letting it go too dry between...
I watered them both the same.
Well,
the pot's, in fact, the one that's droopy, the pot's a little bit bigger. I don't know if that matters.
That might make it worse, right, Tanner?
I mean, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, because, yeah, if you've got a bigger pot, then that's going to mean big, like more soil, more volume of soil, which means the soil is going to retain more moisture. It's going to take longer for it to dry out. So, absolutely, I would say for sure you probably have a case of root rot.
Should she repot it? Check the roots for sure. And then if they're white and healthy, but if they're black and soggy, not good.
Yeah, they're big plants. They're about a foot and a half across, you know, in a circle.
Yep.
Yeah, I would definitely get in there. I've got lots of videos on how to cure the root rot with peace lily because it's so common for customers to do. Google Tana the Planter peace lily root rot. I've got dozens of videos and examples of how to do it.
Tanner's the best, Nancy, because if you go to his website, you can search what's going on. Honestly, you have every answer to every question. And I have only had a couple of plants with root rot, and you have often said, oh, it's going to be kind of a pungent smell. I had never smelled that smell until my first root rot, and then you know you have it, right?
Yeah, and some plants are worse than others. But, yeah, I get that question a lot, too. What does root rot smell like? And I'm like, you will know once you take that pot off, okay? It is not pleasant.
Yeah, it isn't. Diane's on the line. What's your question, Diane?
Hi, Wendy. Hi, Tanner. So I have an orchid that is 5 years old. It's one of those three ice cube ones where it says put three ice cubes in once a week. It still blooms. It's very healthy looking. It gets new leaves. But all the roots, I shouldn't say all. Lots of the roots are spilling over the pot. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe it needs to get repotted, but then it's doing so well as it is. I kind of want to leave it. I just measured it's a 5-inch across pot. But the original one, it came in and it's 5 years old.
Your thoughts?
Well, the great thing about these orchids is they don't care what size of pot they're in. In fact, they grow on the sides of trees where they grow in Southeast Asia. So their roots never are in soil. And so the fact that you have all these roots growing out of the pot is totally normal because that's exactly what it would do out in nature. They love the oxygen to their roots. So the general rule of thumb is to repot your orchid every 1 to 2 years or when the roots are coming out of the pot, like you're saying. But it's not going to be detrimental if you don't. The main benefit of changing out your orchid media every couple of years is to really just see what the roots are doing below, make sure that they are nice and healthy, the ones that you can't see, and to refresh the medium, because over time, the components of orchid soil, which really isn't soil, it's just it's either moss or bark or some combination of the two, that can break down over time, and eventually it can start to leach bad things into your roots. So it's a good idea just to change it out every once in a while, get a little refresh, see how your roots are doing. And then you can put it into a slightly bigger pot if you want to and tuck all those roots in, or you can put it back in the same size pot. Either is perfectly fine.
And where do I find this medium you're saying that it wants, that it's best to put it into? Where would I get that?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. I have a custom. I'm known for my orchids. That's one of the main things I'm known for. So I have a custom.
I was just looking in your book. I was on the page about the orchids, but I didn't see. Yeah, it says, do you need an orchid patch? Okay, go ahead. Tell me what I should do.
Well, if you go to my app, Tana the Planter, in your app store, I have a product called Orchids Glow Up. That's where you get it.
And she has the book, Tanner, so that's cool.
Well, let me tell you, I have the book from the library. Our library has
hey,
your book, Tanner. Yeah, I put it on hold.
I love to hear it. Look at that.
And Wendy, just really quick, the guy you saw at Mariano's, at the bar, that's my brother-in-law.
Oh. All right. Well, he was great. Thank you for calling, Diane. I'll just explain. You don't have a Mariano's out in Texas, do you? It's a chain we have here, a grocery chain, Tanner. And there's a bar in our Mariano's. So, oh, it's a Kroger. And I met a guy at the bar and he goes, you sound like Wendy Snyder. And I said, oh, weird, because I am. I guess that's her brother-in-law. So there I had it's a small world, is it not?
It really is. It really is.
All right. We have Joy on the line. Joy, I have a string of pearls that I've been fighting with, but I've saved it. Do you have a string of dolphins?
No, I don't know that I do. I have a plant called Mother of Thousands.
Oh, Mother of Thousands.
Yeah, I believe that's what it is.
Okay. I thought it said Mother of Dolphins, so I went that route. Okay, what's Mother of Thousands, Joy?
We're not really sure that's what it is. We're not having any. We had it gifted to us, this big old plant, and that's as close as we've come to identifying it. So I was hoping he could help me out with this.
What do you want to know? Tanner, do you ever do a Google search? You're really good at stuff, but sometimes I take a picture of a plant and do like a Google Images and it'll tell you the name of it.
And it's not correct. Well, we've gotten like five names for it, but Mother of Thousands is as close as we've got to identifying it, I believe.
What is that, Tanner?
Well, Mother of Thousands is such an appropriately named plant because it has one of the coolest ways that it propagates. It actually grows baby plants on the perimeter of its leaf, and it'll even grow roots on the perimeter of the leaf and everything. And then once the little baby plantlets are big enough, they'll drop from the leaf onto the ground and then create new plants like this. This is legitimately where it grows in Australia. It is considered an invasive species because it grows so fast and they propagate like crazy.
And that's the problem we're having because it's indoor right now, and we don't know if it's supposed to be standing up or drooping over the thing. It's so heavy that it's starting to droop. We had it propped up with bamboo sticks, but they're not big enough anymore. So we didn't know whether to put it in the ground.
Yeah, it's a tropical plant, so up there in Chicago, it would definitely die here in a couple of months. But if, the problem with those is, they do grow really fast, and you can chop and prop kind of like what we were talking about earlier with Wendy's begonia if you want to control the height. Otherwise, it is a matter of staking because when they're not in the ground, so out in nature where they grow, they will get their trunk will start to become more tree-like. They'll kind of what's called corking. Like, when a cactus kind of gets overgrown even when a tree is growing from like a sapling where the stem is green and malleable and then it gets hard and wooden, that's so that it can sustain the top heavy canopy above it. But when we have them indoors and we have them in a pot, it's a much slower process. And oftentimes they'll droop over like that, before they get that hard woody trunk. So you do have to stake them or chop and prop them if you don't want to have them drooping over.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you so much. We're worried about her.
Thank you, Joy. They're pretty cool looking. I just looked it up, and they are pretty interesting. The mother
There's a Mother of Millions, too, that also does it the same way. It's pretty neat.
That's so cool. All right, I think we have time for one more, and Art is on the line. Fiddle leaf fig problems. They're not that easy, are they, Art?
No, and it's actually not Art. It's his wife.
Oh, hi. What's your name?
My name is Sue.
Sue and Art pulled the old switcheroo, Tanner, but this is Sue, and what's your fiddle leaf fig problem?
So my fiddle leaf fig is about 3 years old, and he's doing really well. His leaves look great. Maybe he's more like 5 years old. His leaves are green. They're not brown and crispy. They're not turning black, but he's dropping leaves like crazy.
Well, let me ask you this. Is it dropping leaves from the bottom of the trunk, like, or is it your new growth that's dropping?
I would say it's more from the bottom.
So these being trees, your fiddle leaf fig is a tree, and so it's going to eventually take the shape, just like most other trees that you're going to see in nature, where it has a bare trunk and a big, sort of round canopy on top. So that could be totally natural. The other thing that I would look into, since he's had it for so long and all of a sudden it's doing more of a rapid drop on it, there's a couple of reasons for that. One, sometimes as the plant grows, you have to move it to a better exposure because it's getting so tall. And sometimes you might not realize that you put it like underneath a fan or somewhere where it's getting a lot more airflow and it's kind of responding to that shock of being into a new environment. That's very common for them to drop their lower leaves when they've been put in a different environment, kind of just acclimating to the new space. But the other main way or main reason why they would suddenly start to drop a whole bunch of leaves unexpectedly when the care has remained the same is from a pest, usually a spider mite. So I would look into that. And usually when I tell people this, they're like, they look really quickly and they're like, no, I don't see any spider mites. But they're usually, if you haven't had them before, they're usually looking for something that's big and obvious. But the spider mite is about the size of a speck of dust. The legs, the eggs that they lay, which you usually find first, are very, very, very small. So I would recommend looking up what they look like first so you know what to look for, and then use a magnifying glass or the 0.5 setting on your phone, your camera phone, to get up really close to see if you can find them.
Okay. All right, Tanner, I'll try those things.
And say hi to Art, okay, Sue?
I'll do that.
All right, Tanner, I just love talking to you. Buy his book. Go to TannerThePlanter.com and find out where you can buy his plants. You are great. Thank you so much for all your help for our listeners.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure.
TannerThePlanter.com. All right, news coming your way next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. 5 is the magic number. It's Wendy Snyder here, and let's say hello to Rich Lenkoff. He is Capital Member Downey and Lenkoff, co-host of Legal Face-Off here on WGNRadio.com. Rich, number 5 is a very important number, is it not?
It is. It's a very litigious number as well.
Tell us the story, because I didn't understand it at first. Eli had to explain it to me, because I don't get sports sometimes. But this is crazy town.
It is. Well, you know, it's actually becoming way more common, both in entertainment and sports, for celebrities to try to get IP protection over all sorts of things involving their name, image, and likeness. So this is the trend. In this case, Jaden Daniels is the quarterback for the Washington Commanders. He is a graduate of LSU, and he wore number 5 at LSU. And he is trying to assert that he has the right to protect number 5. He says that he should own the name, image, and likeness associated with the LSU jersey number 5. So he filed a lawsuit to try to protect that. Well, the question, of course, is, like, who owns number 5?
Yeah.
Does he own it? Because he was a temporary steward of it. Certainly, if I was representing the university, I would assert that, again, this was a temporary use of their number, their IP. If anyone owns that, it would be the school, not him.
I mean, is it different if it was professional sports?
Well, he would have a better argument in professional sports, I believe, because it's more common to associate a number with a player in pro sports. But these days, the line is becoming a little more blurred because athletes are getting paid in college. But in both occasions, no one really owns a number. Now, if it's the number with his name, of course, that's different. But the number alone, I mean, I don't think that's going to get it. That's going to go anywhere.
And you can't just decide, okay, like Ozzie Guillen, you know, they retired his jersey number 13. They decided. You can't just all of a sudden yourself go, you know, I played high school basketball. I was, I think, number 32, but then I had to switch to 26. I'm not going to say, okay, put my name up there and retire the number I wanted hanging from the rafters. You can't just do that.
Of course, yeah, that's a team decision. That's a organization decision. You're right. This is an attempt for the player to assert control over that. But again, this is part of a trend for in all areas of entertainment and sports for control to be more with the individual than the team. We saw this in, you know, Taylor Swift really started this trend when she, you know, got back to rights to her songs and she attempted to trademark some phrases and the likenesses of her. So this is a trend. It might not work in this case, but it is a trend for athletes and celebrities, musicians to assert more control over their IP.
One word for you, ego. Right?
No question. No question.
All right. So Luigi Mangione, I still don't really understand why he was They did a bunch of bits on SNL saying he was like this good-looking murderer. I mean, the guy murdered someone, bottom line. So what's going on with his guilty plea?
Yeah, I mean, kind of surprising. Friday in federal court, he pled guilty to the crime involving his shooting of the CEO on the streets of Manhattan. This was a strategic move, we believe, on his attorney's part to avoid having two sentences, both for the federal and for the state crime. He already asserted through his attorneys that he is the victim of what's called double jeopardy, which is basically being charged for two crimes. His attorneys on the courthouse steps said this is one crime. He should only be charged once. Of course, they are different charges. So this was a strategy. Even though he's going to be likely sentenced to at least 25 years in jail, it was a strategy to avoid spending his life in jail. But what's really important, Wendy, to realize is that usually a deal of this kind also carries with it a deal for the sentence. This did not. He actually just pled guilty, and the U.S. attorney said that he is going to seek the maximum sentence for that guilty plea, which is life in prison. The death penalty was taken off the table already, but there is a chance that he gets sentenced to life in jail. It's up to the judge. So this deal did not carry with it also a deal on the imprisonment.
Jeez. Was it worth it? I mean, listen, I'm the first person to say insurance prices are way too high and insurance does not work well in this country. It really doesn't. But what does killing the CEO have? How has that helped? How has that helped anyone? It's just ruined your life.
Well, for sure. But, you know, it's an interesting legal maneuver because I actually think, believe it or not, even though that we all saw the video of him shooting the CEO in the back, and that seems damaging evidence. You know, we also know that this is perhaps the most glorified, you know, accused murderer ever.
Yeah.
We've seen some, you know, Charles Manson and the Boston, you know, marathon bombers. But this guy has millions and millions of fans. Remember, all it would have taken is one single person on that jury to sympathize with him to get a not guilty verdict. All it takes is one, right? You need 12 to convict. You need one to vote not guilty. I think there's a pretty good chance that he would have been found not guilty, as shocking as that is, given, you know, how many people are sympathizing with him and are, you know, kind of infatuated with him.
It is crazy. The law is so nuts, Rich, and I'm glad you're here to make sense of it all. We're going to take a quick break, and then we have more stories in the news that just we say wow to. He's Rich Lankoff. You can hear him on Legal Face Off at WGNRadio.com. Quick break, and then we're back here on WGN. It's Wendy Snyder here. Rich Lankoff on the line with us. He's an attorney. He's a co-host of Legal Face Off on WGN Radio. All right. Tupac Shakur was murdered, what, 30 years ago? Why are we just having the murder trial now?
Yeah, pretty amazing. I mean, there is no statute of limitations for murder, and this is a good example of you know, how that plays out. There is a murder trial involving a guy named Dwayne Davis in connection with Tupac Shakur's killing. He was killed in 1996, as you mentioned. And the allegation here is not that he pulled the trigger, but that he was involved in the killing. He's made some statements over the years that are a major part of the evidence. But, you know, a couple of interesting legal questions here, Wendy, are, you know, can you be convicted 30 years after something happened when most of the evidence is gone? And, you know, generally a lot of the evidence is testimonial. Obviously after 30 years, even if there was, witnesses still alive or still around that you could find, the veracity of their testimony would be questioned, right? Whether they could remember things from 30 years ago. And also, you know, this question about whether you can be convicted of murder when you didn't actually pull the trigger. Of course, if the evidence shows that he was part of the conspiracy or he, you know, orchestrated, then they might be able to get a conviction here.
So the guy who is accused of shooting him, what has he been doing for the last 30 years?
I mean, he's been out, I think. I don't know exactly what, you know, he's been doing, but he certainly hasn't been in jail for this murder.
Wow.
Of course, you know, there's been lots of rumors and speculation over the years of what really happened. And, you know, some people even think Tupac is still alive, but I don't think that's going to get much traction.
Yeah, well, those same people think Elvis is alive. Well, actually,
that's
they're
right.
different
that's
people.
That's right.
All right. Well, explain this Lindsey Clancy case to me, because I'm recently involved in it and it's confusing me.
Yeah, I mean, this is a case that's getting a lot of attention in Massachusetts. We're entering, I think, the third week of trial. The underlying case involves the deaths of Clancy's children. The allegation is that she killed three of her children, her three children, after suffering from postpartum psychosis. The husband is at the trial, as well as the accused wife. And, you know, the internet is going crazy because many are sympathetic with her. Many are involved in this conspiracy theory that it wasn't her after all. It was him who actually orchestrated the killings. If you look at the timeline, it would be hard to imagine that he would be able to be involved in this short period of time. But many are sympathizing with her and her alleged, you know, mental illness.
That's what I thought was going on, and it amazes me how social media is a bunch of attorneys and super sleuths, because I talked to Sky Borgman, who did that Netflix documentary on the Idaho murders. And
yeah.
I don't know if you saw that, but it was done very tastefully, where it focused on the victims and the victims' family other than the killer. But then you have people who come out on Facebook saying, you know, Brian Koberger did not do it. He was set up. It's like, how do people come to these conclusions?
People have lots of free time. I mean, the true crime community is bigger than ever. I mean, there are conventions for this kind of stuff. There's nonstop chatter online. So, you know, people will look at all of these stories with more scrutiny than ever before. And, you know, like in case of Mangione, there's always going to be a segment of the population who zags, right? Who thinks that the other person is guilty. I think that's just a phenomenon of our culture where we are today. And why that's relevant legally is because, you know, all you need is one of those people in the jury, like we talked about in the earlier segment. So not only is it, you know, interesting that these people feel this way online, but if they make it onto the jury, it could change everything.
I would be the worst juror in the world. First of all, I went to jury duty, Rich, and I made it into the courtroom to get interviewed to be on the jury. And when they mentioned what the guy up front did, and it was some kind of a sexual act, I know my face made a face. I could not keep I grimaced or something. And I know that when the lawyers questioned me, they pretty much, said get out of here right away, because I wear my head, I mean my heart on my sleeve, and evidently I can't keep my face silent when I disapprove of something, so I'd be terrible.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, whenever I impanel a jury, you always try to pick up on those nonverbal cues that you're mentioning, because you only have a certain time to what we call voir dire, question potential jurors, and you know, frequently they will tell you something that's not true. And picking up their facial expression, picking up their body language is really key to determining whether they'll be, you know, an impartial juror or more importantly, whether they'll be partial to your client.
So they were looking at my facial expressions, weren't they?
100%. Oh, for sure.
Well, it's funny because I would like to be on a jury sometime, but it's like, unfortunately, we as jurors and civil servants cannot pick our cases that we are the jurors on, because some of these, I don't know if I could be unbiased.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's always an issue, right, with these cases where there's a lot of media attention, because that's the key question. Despite all the media attention, despite what you might have seen on TV, can you put aside those preconceived notions of good or bad, guilty or not guilty, and decide the case based on the evidence? That's kind of the magic question that we're all trying to figure out when we impanel a jury.
Well, a little tip for you, Rich. If you ever want to play poker with me, you will win. I don't have
I'm putting that in my pocket for the next time we play.
I do not have a good poker face. All right. President Trump takes on the fight against the White House ballroom. He's not going to let this die, is he?
He will not. We know that he is going to court for everything. And in this case, the court basically ruled that in order to demolish a building on, you know, White House grounds, you, I don't know, have to go through Congress for that. He, of course, disagrees and says, interestingly, one of his arguments is that we're already kind of halfway done. So despite its illegality, let's just keep going forward, which is, you know, I guess kind of practically true. And maybe the court, maybe the Supreme Court will agree with that. But yeah, there is a process. He should have gone through the process. His argument is that he's the executive, you know, chief of the executive branch, and he's allowed to do it. So Supreme Court is made up of very conservative people right now. There's a 6-3 majority. So I think there's probably a better than even chance that they will overturn the lower court's decision and allow construction to continue.
All right. And when is the next time, or what do you have coming up on Legal Face-Off this week?
Well, we'll be covering, actually, our next show is not till next week, but we'll be covering all these stories. Anything new in the news, and, you know, that's the fun of our show. We never know in advance. It's always last-minute legal news, so tune in on August 27th for the next one.
Okay, and when are you seeing Springsteen again?
Anytime he will be performing, I'll be seeing him, but he is now officially off the road. But I'm actually seeing the Canadian Springsteen tonight, Bryan Adams in Milwaukee. So,
oh, fun.
Not quite as good, but, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe a good Canadian version of Springsteen.
Yeah, I forget you're Canadian. My son Dylan was playing, he came home from work and he really cranks tunes in his room. And I hear this song and I texted him. I'm like, who is it? And he goes, The Band. I'm like, really? This song sounds so familiar. Have you heard The Band's cover version of Springsteen's Atlantic City? It's great.
I have. It's great. It's amazing.
Cause I'm like, why do I know all these words? Cause it's a, you know, Springsteen song. But yeah, The Band covered it in 1993, for a reunion album. And it's really cool.
Well, it's a great song. It's hard to screw it up, and they're a great band. So it is a great version.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Rich, thank you for checking in. Have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Wendy. Always a pleasure. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Rich Lankoff, he is an attorney, Capital Member Downey & Lankoff, and he's co-host of Legal Face-Off on WGNRadio.com. All right, we were talking about the 13th Annual Taco Fest that was going on, and I wanted to give you a website to go for more information. Plain and simply, ChicagoEvents.com and /event/Lakeview Taco Fest. And that's coming up next weekend. So go check it out. It'll be so much fun. And something else I wanted to continue. We didn't finish the other two flavors of the limited time Oreos. We mentioned the Oreo banana pudding cookies. There's something about those vanilla wafers that are so delicious. But this is layers of sweet banana and vanilla pudding in a deliciously delectable. Listen, I had 3 sips of a margarita. I don't know what my problem is today. I started the day like this. I'm going to end it like it as well. Layers of sweet banana and vanilla pudding in a deliciously delectable dual layered cream sandwiched between vanilla wafer cookies. Then there's Oreo deep fried cookies, featuring iconic golden fried doughy flavor baked into the cookie itself, with fried dough flavored cookies wrapping layers of dark chocolate and fried dough flavored cream. What do they mean? Like funnel cake fried dough? Is that what they're talking about? Because then there's a chicken and waffle cookie. Come on, Oreos. A signature waffle texture and embossment, you know, like the crisscross, and dual layered cream, both infused with sweet and savory flavor notes this is for the fried chicken and maple syrup flavor in every bite. And I know that Eli, you were talking about, the KFC, Oreo, but that's just in China at this point.
Yes. Yeah. It's not coming to the States.
No. But the chicken and waffle, would you try that?
I'd be willing to try it. I don't know if I'd like it. Like, I'm willing to try any of the Oreo just for the fun flavor of it all, but I can't say I would enjoy it.
And I've totally made the switch from regular Oreos to double stuff. And what do you prefer in your Oreo cookie? The thin ones?
The thin ones are good, but thin has the same ratio as the double stuff. It's just smaller. So, like, you can eat more.
Oh.
It has the better ratio is what I was trying to say.
Yeah, really. Okay, now I get what you're saying. All right, see, we cover the big stories here on WGN. And news is coming up with Dave Schwann right now on 720 WGN. What a great song. Eli, good choice. Wendy Snyder here, and it's Sunday afternoon now, and Ron Brown joins us. Ron, I saw a movie last night, believe it or not. A current movie.
In the theaters or at home?
No. You're going to always ask me that, and I'm always going to say...
I'm going to be at home.
At home.
That's okay. That's a step in the right direction.
I saw Backrooms.
Oh, you did?
Last night.
And...
I didn't really know what was going on, and yet I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of those you don't ask too many questions. It doesn't supply too many answers. It just allows you to just watch it and go, what's going on? It's surreal.
The thing that really confused me was seeing Alice from Shrinking. I watched that show with Harrison Ford and Jason Segel. And Alice, who plays the daughter of Jason Segel on Shrinking, which is an Apple TV thing, is in this movie. And that kind of was like, what? But
it's a good cast. It's a good movie. It's a good, it's confusing. I think that's its whole point. The characters feel confused. The audience feels confused. You take away from it what you take away from it, and you talk about it.
I enjoyed it a lot. Now I've seen Obsession, I've seen Backrooms, and my next movie that I have got to see is that, what's the Hail Mary?
Oh, Project Hail Mary. That's streaming on Prime right now, I think, for free. So.
All right. Well, I have to see that. There's a new Star Wars movie, which I'm embarrassed to say I didn't know about. I'm sure Jimmy Mack.
I was going
to
say, Jimmy Mack didn't tell you about this?
You know,
maybe he did, and he just rolled your eyes.
I think he knows. I don't. He does Rebel Force Radio. A lot of people are loyal, love Star Wars. I appreciate it and everything. I just don't live for it. So I feel bad now that I didn't know that there was some footage from the new movie debuting on Friday night, and I feel bad he couldn't tell me about it. But Ron, why don't you?
Well, you can surprise him by telling him that you heard about Starfighter. It debuted at D23, and he'll be impressed that you know about D23.
What is that?
That's a Disney fan event
that
they hold every couple of years in Southern California, and Star Wars is now a Disney property. So they debuted this footage at D23 on Friday night, starring Ryan Gosling. It's going to be his first Star Wars movie, and a perfect fit, you know. I mean, he's a fan favorite. He's going to be, I'm not sure what character he's going to be in the movie, but they did just show some new, The Rise of Skywalker. So, that was a previous movie. This is the first one set after the events of 2019's Rise of Skywalker. So, no, I'm really not sure what if he's playing a Skywalker character or not. But it's got to be a Jedi. It's Ryan Gosling, right?
I don't know. Tune into Rebel Force Radio to find out. And I do feel super guilty, Ron, because he did tell me he saw this on Friday.
Oh, he did.
He was showing, he was telling everybody, hey, come watch the. I'm like, okay, I got to do something. but the boys watched it. So, yeah, I feel bad.
Well, there it is. Well, Ryan Gosling is in Project Hail Mary, too. So maybe watch that first, and then you'll be all ready for him in Star Wars, another science fiction movie.
I love Ryan Gosling.
Everybody does.
But he just kind of he came onto my radar somewhat recently. Well, the Barbie movie pushed him over the top, didn't it? I know he was popular before, but...
Yeah, he's been in he has a great career from a very serious, very good dramatic actor to doing rom-coms to doing comedies. He's all over the place, and he's very good at everything. He's just like he's a nice guy. He's handsome. He's well built, and so he covers all the bases for a movie star. And he's making some very smart career moves.
Well, good for him. There's another actor I just love, Christian Bale.
Yeah, you may get to see him because he's coming to Chicago.
For what reason?
Well, he's been cast in Michael Mann's new movie, Heat 2, and that's going to be filming pretty soon in Chicago. I don't know if you saw Heat 1.
No, but I hear about it frequently from Bob newsroom. Kessler and Kevin Powell.
And Kevin Powell, they love it. They can quote the lines
I know.
Back and forth, scenes back and forth. And you know how much I like movies? They are obsessed with Heat. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, oh, did you know this and did you know that? I'm like, wow. So they are very happy. They're going to be talking about this all week, I'm sure. Michael Mann's Heat 2 has cast Christian Bale as the Al Pacino character, who was Al Pacino was in the first Heat in 1995. It's a 1995, you know, crime heist movie, and it was very well received. But it received cult status now. Christian Bale is going to be in Chicago. The action takes place in 1988 Chicago. He's going to star with Leonardo DiCaprio,
wow,
who will play Chris Shirelles, who was originally played by Val Kilmer. And in this new film, the Christian Bale character is chasing the Val Kilmer character. So he's already, no spoiler, but he's already met the Robert De Niro character. He was in the first one.
Oh, okay.
So, and then that didn't end too well for one of the characters, but...
I think I did see the original because it's all kind of ringing a bell now, but I can watch. Here's my problem, Ron, and I don't know if this ever happens to you, and I may have told you this. When Robin Williams died, I said, Jim, let's watch, what's the 1 hour photo?
Yeah.
And he's like, we've seen it. I said, no, we haven't. And we watched the whole movie, and in the last 5 minutes, I'm like, oh, yeah, I did see it. I just don't remember things like some people do.
Yeah. Well, that can be a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I watch movies sometimes two or three times in the same year, but I certainly will rewatch movies over again and enjoy them just as much. And not so much that the movies surprise me. It's just I appreciate, you know, some dialogue, or I appreciate some kind of action, or I appreciate the actors and the roles. So sometimes there are different things to appreciate in each every time. I can watch Apocalypse Now and just appreciate the opening sequence.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, wow, how did they do that and come up with that? And it's just wonderful. So.
And you're at a different time in your life and a different phase of your life when you rewatch a movie.
And you can pick it up again.
Yeah.
I just rewatched Sunset Boulevard the other night.
I never saw that.
Oh, it's so good. It's a Billy Wilder movie starring Gloria Swanson and, what's his name? I just watched it, too.
You got too much rolling around in your head.
I do. But anyway, so it was a great movie, and I was just watching William Holden.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, so it's a classic, and for so many reasons, and there's so many pieces of dialogue that still just struck me as, oh, that's right. And it was just so good, so well written. But
all right, well, Heat 2 is coming out. Boy, that took a long time, didn't it?
Yeah, Michael Mann, writer-director Michael Mann, graduate of Amundsen High School, Chicago.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I love Chicago history like that. And did you go to Fan Expo?
I did not. That's just it's too expensive for me. I mean, that's for people like Jimmy Mack.
He did not go this year.
It's like they really are fans, you know, they're fanatics, and that's what that is for, and it serves a great purpose for that. And we had it right here in Chicago, Fan Expo.
Kurt Russell was there, mm-hmm. And what's going on with The Thing? Is there...
Well, director John Carpenter was there as well, and he said that he is working on a sequel to his 1982 cult movie, The Thing. It's a science fiction movie, and everybody's seen that. You've seen that, right?
I've even seen that, believe it or not.
You've seen that, yeah. So it's a great movie, it's been rumored to have a rewrite and a sequel. Kurt Russell is still around. He's in a movie right now, in a really good movie called The Rivals of Amaziah King. And, of course, he's done, you know, Quentin Tarantino movies. But he's primed for the new Thing sequel. And we may be seeing that soon, according to John Carpenter, who says he's working on it. So he didn't say when it's, you know, in production or when it's been cast or anything, just that he's working on it. But that's a good thing.
Yeah, but that could be
no
he's
pun
working. Yeah, pun taken. That could be like 10 years from now if he's working on it.
Yeah, that does take a while to develop them if it's not been written yet. So if it's an idea, you know, I would say 5 years at the earliest.
Well, I loved that movie. I saw it fairly recently because my son Dylan is a big fan. He's like, Mom, you got to see this. And it was really good. So,
yeah, yeah.
That's a good movie if even I've seen it. That's the parameters,
there it
I
is.
Guess. All right, Ron, always a pleasure. I really appreciate you keeping us up on what's happening in the entertainment world.
It is always fun to talk to you, and thank you for the taco.
It's a birria taco, so I hope you enjoy it.
I will, I'm sure.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then John Hansen is doing a Sunday version of Let's Get Legal. It's Sunday, right? Okay. And we'll talk to him next here on 720 WGN. All right. It has been a very fun Sunday hanging out with you. The sun is starting to break through. I'm Wendy Snyder, and this guy is John Hansen.
Hi, everyone.
It's a Sunday version of Let's Get Legal.
Yeah, we don't have, that doesn't happen all that often.
Yeah.
We get bumped sometimes for sports, and occasionally, we have to move to Sundays, which is always a little nicer on the drive-in. The traffic is way better on a
yeah.
Sunday, even with how busy things are. I mean, the Air and Water Show, I believe, is back underway. I don't know if we've seen any planes zooming on by. It was delayed till noon, if I'm,
yes,
if Schwani, unless Schwani was lying.
No, he was correct.
I saw some a cargo plane go by. You know?
Oh,
I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, they're probably saving the best for later on. It's all the way up until 5 today.
Yeah, so. They start with the cargo planes.
The slow moving ones.
The slow ones, and then boom. Are Blue Angels flying this year or just Thunderbirds?
It's supposed to be the Thunderbirds and the Golden Knights.
Oh, yeah. The Golden Knights are great. So are the Thunderbirds.
Yeah.
The Blue Angels sometimes steal the show, though.
Yeah.
And, so that's always fun when we have guests in and then they get to see the plane zooming by. So we'll be on the lookout for that this afternoon. But yeah, a little nice Sunday drive in. It was great listening to you, Wendy. I'm going to make tacos tonight because of you and your guest. You know, Taco Fest, I should sue them, honestly.
Why? You made that up?
I mean, I'm sure other people have put this together. But back in college, I started an event called Taco Fest where I'd literally cook tacos for everyone in the neighborhood that lived near me. I mean, I was like doing 50 to 70 pounds of ground beef, 100 pounds of chicken I would slow cook.
Jeez.
And I was like in college doing this. Like it was like a big event. It was like our party that we'd have every year for like our block. And I lived in an apartment in Urbana. And so then like the whole block, we'd like illegally shut it down. And I called it Taco Fest. And I put it on Facebook. I just didn't register or trademark it. And now Lakeview, and it's a great event. I've gone many, many times. I used to live right over there. And every time I look at Taco Fest, the words, I'm like, I should have trademarked that. Should have copyrighted that.
You just want to be loved, don't you?
I just want money.
You make everyone tacos.
I love it. I love hosting. I love getting people together. I love a big party where I'm so busy I can't even talk to people, yet I still am. Then I'm panicked that I'm not working the room right. And I'm like, I just go up to everyone. You okay? I haven't seen you. And I just love then retreating back into the kitchen and just making a bunch of food. I don't know why I like that so much. I don't even know if I'm particularly good at it. I just, there's something about being the hub of activity.
Well, you like to be the center of attraction, too.
Yeah.
You like attention.
I do. I'm not like a full extrovert. I bet we're very similar in that there's moments I can be introverted.
Well, yes.
I definitely turn off.
Yeah, but you turn off like I turn off when we've had enough.
When we've had
enough. It's kind of
I go full
on
speed
us.
Until, until I've been so extroverted, now I must be introverted. And you're the same way, I assume.
Yeah, because you just said, is everything okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm wrapping up my show and I'm going to go home and make barbecue some steaks and probably have Miller Lite. But then I wanted something more refreshing and I don't know.
You can do both. That's why we have two hands, Wendy. That's why the Lord gave us two arms and two hands.
All right. So you are looking marvelous. And
thank you.
Look at the guns on this guy. You're building them up.
I am. Also, I've been telling the listeners about the Transform RX Chicago journey I'm doing with Dr. Balanandra. They're probably sick of hearing it. Sorry, everyone. But I've just been like so amazed at how, first of all, I've been given a GLP-1. So that's doing a lot of the heavy lifting. And honestly, it's been a real motivation to go and do weightlifting myself because it's not a no one on a GLP-1 should feel this way, but there is like a little sense of you're almost gaming or cheating the system a little bit. And no
one
should.
You're getting assistance.
You're getting assistance, right? But I think there is like a little part of me that's like, I mean, without this GLP-1, I would still be snacking at everything that's here at WGN, going to the candy bowls. I just, for whatever reason in my brain, you know, I've lost weight at other times in the past and then gained it back. I just don't have that mechanism in my brain to do this for whatever reason. So I feel like, yes, I'm getting some assistance. But I'm using that maybe small sense of guilt that I have about it as an extra motivation to not become a gym rat, but like I go 5 days a week. And
wow,
five
good.
Or six even. And I sometimes it's only for 30 or 45 minutes. I just try it at the Planet Fitness down the street from my house. And
now nothing, everybody's going to be waiting for you there. So they
feel free. Come on by.
Look at your guns.
Yeah,
the gun show.
The gun show. Showing up at random hours throughout the day at the Planet Fitness and Downers. But I guess what it is that it's been such a great motivation. And what I've learned is, or especially early on on this journey, was there's some days I don't want to go to the gym. I don't have time. And also, I may not have time for it. But just even if there's been days I go and I just do one lift for 20 minutes or 15 minutes. And I'm like, I just at least check that box today. And tomorrow I'll try and go longer. Because for me, it's all about repetition
yeah.
and like getting in that rhythm. So feeling really great. I hope it continues. Everyone always asks, like, what's the end game? Like, are you going to come off of it? What I like about Dr. Nandra is my dosage has remained low. He's not upping it because I don't need it. Everything's going well. Yeah, a lot of people, like, when the general practitioner or the primary care physician who did prescribe me a GLP-1, but insurance wouldn't cover it, it was going to be $1,500 a month out of pocket.
Jeez.
Because I was, like, half a pound below the threshold. I was like, I could have left my keys in my pocket and gotten insurance to cover it. And then they warned me not to go weigh myself again at the doctor because they're like, we know what you weigh, don't lie. Anyways, it's a long way of saying that when you go through the primary care physician, it seems like, at least my understanding is, they just send you the dosages and they automatically go up no matter what. What I do is I get to check in every 4 weeks and do like a body composition analysis, which makes me feel good that I'm, you know, not losing too much muscle. In fact, I've been gaining muscle. That's great. Humble brag. And that I can say to the doctor is, you know, I don't have any cravings. I don't need to go up in dosage. And his message is then, cool, just stay where you are. And I think
that
makes it easier.
He knows what he's doing.
Right. I think that makes it easier if maybe I'm going to come off it. Or maybe, you know, because it has a half-life of 5 days in your body, by the sixth or seventh day, that's why you do it once a week. By the sixth or seventh day, I do notice, so my shot day is Wednesdays. By maybe Monday or Tuesday, I do start to notice some cravings coming back. And then I feel like, okay, now the last day's on me. Do I have the corrective behavior down to now resist the candy bowl, resist that? And if I can kind of like train myself a little bit on that and get better at that discipline, then maybe coming off of it in a few months or a year will be easier. I mean, I don't know. That's why I'll be open with the listeners on how it's all going.
Yeah, I like following your journey. And I've read somewhere that it also boosts testosterone level and your voice seems lower. So
I have a slight cold, I will admit that. But does it sound lower? Is it a little raspy tonight?
Yeah, you sound sexy.
Ooh. Well, this is my Sunday voice.
Oh, it's a
this
smooth
is,
Sunday
yes,
voice.
A smooth
I like it.
Smooth Sunday voice.
I could go as low as you can.
No, you can go lower, I bet.
What's coming up on Let's Get Legal?
We got a new attorney coming in. Her name is Megan Shore, and she's from Shore Injury Law, so that must mean that she runs the firm, which is great. And she does a lot of different things. She does some personal injury stuff, but she does a lot in the sphere of nursing home neglect in that world.
Aww.
And you know, we get so many callers. I mean, a lot of our listeners are in that sandwich generation. They're taking care of their kids or adult kids. They're also maybe taking care of their parents. Some of you are having those conversations right now with your kids about what to do. So we're going to open up the phone lines if people have questions about nursing homes. And it doesn't have to be all like neglect. Like, how do you pick a nursing home?
Right.
Like some very positive
stuff. A lot
of
questions.
Too. Yeah. So we're going to open up the phone lines. That's the first hour. And our good friend Patrick Dolan will join for the 2 o'clock hour. And my voice will get lower and lower. By 3 o'clock, you won't even notice. I'll sound
what
like
is David Jennings.
David Jennings. Yes.
Here.
Exactly. I'll slowly pivot to David. But yeah, no, it should be fun. It should be good.
All right. Well, I am ramping up. It's been a fun time filling in. Bob Surratt is back on Monday.
Oh, nice.
And
you
so,
did great. You're so great, Wendy.
Thank Thank you. No, I'd say that to you.
I know, but you're so wonderful.
Okay, shush.
All right, I'll shut up.
So Bob Surratt's back tomorrow. I'm just telling the listeners, be kind of nice to him because he's been off for a week, and it's kind of, you know, tough to jump right into that morning shift again.
Yeah. He had his birthday, too.
And Marianne had a birthday, too.
That's right. They're right next to each other.
They celebrated, so just go easy on him tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I think he'll probably play like a 9-minute intro just to really delay that first... True Bob fashion, his first words will be about 6:21.
All right, well, I'll tune in.
That's how he does it. Yeah, I love it.
Good for him. Eli, thank you for hanging today. Great job.
Thank you.
All right. And John Hansen is up next with Let's Get Legal. It's news coming your way with Ron Brown from the Northwest. Another minute. I don't want
to. Do you want me to talk?
Minute. Yeah. No. Well, news is coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Are we allowed? Can I share what you told me in the hallway or no?
I don't remember what.
Well,
I
you
said.
Were texting me when I was in on my little gauntlet on Wednesday night.
Oh, I don't care. My life is an open book.
Wendy listens to John Landecker in the shower.
Not
every night.
Every night. Okay, it's just that's when I have time to take a shower. You were sitting in for him the other night because you were on the radio for 24 hours straight.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So everybody was listening to you while they were in the shower that day because you were on every shift.
And thank you. That's another reason I lower my voice, just to really make your shower listening nice and pleasant. But I just love that. Well, I'm going to stop right there, but I just love that you listen to John Landecker in the shower. That's very sweet of you.
Not every time I shower, but it's very frequently.
Do you wait? Like, if it's Friday, do you wait till Monday to shower till John's back on?
Yeah, I'm not going to listen to Plyer in the shower. And I'm just kidding, Dave, if you're listening. All right, I got to go.
Bye.